Our number is 1-300-800-222.
That is the number if you'd like to join the quiz. I'm here with Judith Lucy, who's just very, very graciously come in.
Well, I'm here because I'm a big Jason Mraz fan.
Thank you, Jason Mraz.
Heard that you were going to be playing some Jason Mraz, and I thought this is the place to be.
And that is the artist, Make It Mine, was the song
Where
that we heard.
Where has he been all my life?
I don't know.
My hips are still shaking.
M-R-A-Z, just if you're taping it and you want to write down the correct
I'm writing
artist.
That down for the tattoo I'm about to get.
We are ready for the quiz, Judith.
Are we? Oh.
Can you believe it?
Let's go.
Let's go to, hello, Ian from, is it Collyambly?
That's it.
Collyambly is that near Narrandra?
Between Griffith and Jerilderie.
So no.
I still have no idea what state you're in, Ian.
Not far from Narrandra.
Oh, very good.
Sorry, Ian, what state are you in?
What state?
Yeah, not, you know, in a spiritual or mental capacity.
Yeah,
but
a mellow state, quite a happy state. I'm a little bit disappointed that you're not calling it Norman the Quiz anymore and there isn't any theme song.
I could sing one, Ian. What
happened to Norman?
Norman?
I can't tell you about Norman. No,
can you tell
Where's
us? What's
Norman?
What is Norman?
Norman the Quiz.
Norman the Quiz. I'll sort.
Your quiz used to be last year. It was Norman. For years and years, it's been Norman the Quiz.
Ian, it's 2011. Come on, embrace
Where's
the new
Norman?
Year.
Where's Norman?
I'll find Norman for you
No theme music anymore.
For the quiz?
Yeah, it's like calling Bob and Dolly Dyer not pick a box. It's just the quiz.
I think you've got to let some of this stuff go, Ian. But
what happened to tradition and history and things like that?
Yeah,
but you've also got to embrace the new, Ian.
Oh, do you? Every new year.
Well, that's right. It's a new decade. Come on.
Is it real? No, it's the second year.
Well, you know, cut me some slack.
Okay. I'm just.
No more Norman.
I've just quickly lost control of the show. Ian, we're actually going to officially start the quiz.
Sorry.
17 minutes after the news finished.
I thought Ian and I had some rapport going there. We never really got to the bottom of Norman. Maybe Norman was murdered. But let's go.
Ian, you've got to put Norman behind you just for this question.
Okay.
Question one. Name the two lead male actors who played opposite Meryl Streep in the 2009 comedy It's Complicated?
That's a very complicated question for an
Ian, I will give you a hint and say neither one of them was called Norman.
No, they weren't called Norman, yeah. No. Barry and Fred.
And he's correct!
Yes. You are correct, Ian.
No.
If the question was very different. But thank you very much and a big hello to everyone there in Collyambly, New South Wales.
Thank Judith you. Good on you, Ian.
Let's go to Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. Now, look, I don't even know who Norman is.
Norman, the
None
quiz.
None of us do.
Norman.
No, Elizabeth, I'm being told by Al, my producer, that Norman the quiz is something that kind of is in the dominion of New South Wales. New South Wales listeners may know Norman the Quiz. Where, of course, everyone else around Australia.
Well, I can't go on with all that banter that Ian gave you.
Do you know, I think that's a blessing.
Well, Sean Penn Melk.
You know, you're already wrong, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
But I'm dying to hear who else you'll say, because I think already it's a movie I'd like to see.
It's a better movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a movie I've seen. I'm sorry.
You've considered yourself very lucky, Elizabeth, but it's Sean. Who would you have had, Sean Penn and who?
My brain trusts are saying Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson. I know, but we're at Phillip Island, so, I mean, you know, what can you expect?
not the correct answer.
I don't know where to go with that, but who wouldn't like to see a kind of I don't know, Sophie's Choice meets Legal Weapon meets
Weapon.
You know, I'm trying to think of a Sean Penn film, The Falcon and the Snowman.
Just say goodnight, Sam.
Good on you, Elizabeth, and sail out everyone down in Phillip Island. That was That's a different movie.
It is a different movie. I'm glad that we're still struggling on question number one.
Don't worry.
I look worried?
No, you don't. But we had the Burt Reynolds question on Monday went for 8.5 minutes. So
okay.
Don't worry. We're flying here.
we're ripping through them.
Is it Micah?
Yes.
Hello, Micah.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
I'm Melbourne.
Melbourne. And how old are you?
10.
Do you reckon you know the answer to the question, Micah?
No.
Right. Yeah,
Do you want to have a guess, though?
Yeah, we'll have a guess. The question is, name the two lead male actors who played opposite Meryl Streep in the comedy It's Complicated.
Excuse me? May you please repeat the question?
I think we should just say correct because she was so polite.
You're very polite. Is this for your brain's trust, Micah?
That's Mum.
Yeah? Okay, Mum. Name the two lead male actors that played opposite Meryl Streep in It's Complicated.
It's Complicated. That would be Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin.
Correct. Well done. So, Micah's mum or Micah?
Micah.
Oh, okay.
I'm driving.
Rightio, Mum.
Hey, can I ask Micah's mum, though, did you actually see the film?
Loved it.
Did you really?
Hilarious.
Oh, I was particularly disappointed with... I just thought Steve Martin's character was so wishy-washy.
He was a bit benign, you're right, but...
I'm seldom wrong, Micah's mum.
Alec Baldwin's character was over the top and excellently so.
Who knew that we'd all want to sleep with Alec Baldwin at this time in his life?
Yeah, that's right.
You and Micah's mum have got something going there. Micah's mum, you are driving still?
I still am, yep.
Right, we'll just be very careful.
Micah's got the phone and we're on speaker.
Ah, great. Here we go.
Thanks for your concern, Sam.
Micah and Micah's mum, we're going to listen to a TV theme and all you have to do is tell me which TV show it's from.
Okay. Family Ties.
Wow, correct. Who would have thought we'd get to the second question so quickly?
These guys are on a roll.
Family Ties, did you like that show, Micah, or Micah's mum?
Yeah, I grew up with it, yeah.
So did I.
The 80s, so...
Gee, we've really skipped ahead. I must admit, I was looking at Name the Five Members of the Rat Pack.
No, that's...
no wonder I didn't get that.
Tell you what, you're just giving away future questions, Judith, but that's if you do know the answer to that, that will be coming up. Family Ties, Judith. Got to say, I was a bit of a Meredith Baxter fan.
Well, of course.
Yeah, she was cool. I miss Mr. Keaton. Love Mr. Keaton.
Well, Micah's mum, do you really... You might want to cover Micah's ears for this.
Okay.
Oh,
I slept with Skippy. True story. He was his real name's Mark Price, and he did a season in Australia about 20 years ago. So this was Michael J. Fox's best friend in Family Ties. I've done him. Australia. You've heard it first.
This is Micah's mum. Are you still there?
Yeah, I've just pulled over.
Yeah, I would. I'd pull over too.
I'm pulled over.
What a bombshell. That could lead the news next hour.
Probably. If I'm not on the cover of New Idea.
Just toured the once, though, didn't he, after that?
No, he did actually come back, but unfortunately our paths never crossed again. But, yes, isn't it sad? That's the most famous person I've ever slept with, Skippy. Anyway, would have been better off sleeping with Gopher from the Love Boat.
Or Isaac the Barman. Micah's mum...
Yeah.
Do you remember, this is not a part of the quiz, but do you remember, you know when a TV series start to get a little bit stale and they bring in the cute kid?
Yeah.
Do you remember the name? This happened to Family Ties. Jennifer.
They brought in Bronson in Family Ties.
Yeah, what was
his... You really do know your Family Ties.
I think his name was Billy Bronson and character's name was Andrew. Little Andrew brought in.
Andrew, that's right.
He was a cutie, wasn't he?
Oh, he was gorgeous.
Yeah, you've lost me.
Yeah, you probably stopped watching.
He's not gorgeous now.
Micah's mum, I like that you've pulled over because you've taken this quiz seriously now.
And so she should.
Now, Barry Cassidy, who I love, and not just his hair, but I love that man's hair.
Cool.
He was, of course, the star of ABC television. So many programs, I can't name them.
I'm struggling to know who Barry Cassidy is.
He's the Insiders and the Offsiders.
And he's in the Insiders on Sunday morning.
That's right, and then he hosts the Offsiders.
Right.
Oh, you probably don't watch anything that you're not actually on yourself. Barry Cassidy.
That would really limit my viewing, Sam, let me tell you.
Barry Cassidy was the personal press secretary for which Australian Prime Minister?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you. First one for the week, Marcus Mum.
I would have to go Keating or Hawke.
Oh.
Yes.
It is one of those two.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest.
I'm just going to go with Keating.
Are you sure?
Okay, I'll go with Hawke.
She got it.
Yeah, Micah's mum, Bob Hawke is the correct answer. Somehow you're still involved in the quiz. I'll tell you what, I'm feeling a bit for Micah. She's facing.
Yeah, he's here. Hello.
Seems to have been brushed to the side.
Yeah.
But not really, because we actually don't know Micah's mum's real name. We just continue to call her Micah's mum.
No, it's Jordana.
And a lovely name too.
Okay. Jordana, I might ask you this question.
Sure.
What profession...
That's why you're here. What else are you going to do? You're going to sing it to her?
That was me padding as I lost my spot. What profession do you associate Bill Leake with?
Bill Leake?
Yep.
I can't help you.
I've got no idea.
Yes.
Bill Leake.
Australian.
Isn't he a writer?
Well, he probably is, but he's not. He is a writer, but he's not. This is not, you know, what he's most famous for, in my opinion.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he's a writer. I just don't know what his profession is.
And speaking of like
sport related,
you've got the answer in front of you, don't you?
No, I don't.
Really? Well, you do.
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's that would be a good quiz if I didn't even give the answers to the co-host. No, it's. When you say writing, well, he is involved in a newspaper, Daily, The Australian. That's probably all the hints I can give you,
Jordana. You know, there are so many things you can do with a pen. You can write. You can draw.
You're not in...
Bill Leake. Oh, look, I heard the drawings. Is he the cartoonist for The Australian?
Bingo. Oh. She's good.
Mm. There's many text messages accusing you or Jordana of collusion. So we, Jordana.
Yes.
Hold the line. We're in the middle of the quiz. 1-300-800-222. Hold the line. And
Have we got some more Jason Moran?
No, we haven't. We've got Angus and Julia Stone. You like them?
That's groovy.
Yes, it is.
They are very cool.
Jordana?
We're all on the same page here, Jordana.
Hold the line. You are currently leading the quiz. Here is Angus and Julia Stone with Big Jet Plane.
Summer with Sam Page.
Catchy, isn't it?
It is.
And so catchy.
And for this show, it's with Judith Lucy as well, of course. Comedian, star of stage and
director.
Screen, director.
I really want you to keep going with
and
director.
And, of course, you found out, if you've been listening, that you slept with Skippy from Family Ties.
So, write it down.
Had an SMS here from Martin, who says, when you said that you slept with Skippy, he imagined you waking up with kangaroo scratches all over you. Now, that's...
Don't give up your day job, Martin. Thank you.
But that mightn't be too far from the truth either.
I mean, sure, I banged a couple of echidnas, but I've got to draw the line somewhere.
We are in the middle of the quiz, Judith. Three questions in half an hour.
Well done, everyone.
Yes, and we are speaking with, Jordana. I know her better as Micah's mum. But Micah's mum, hello, are you still there?
I certainly am.
Are you still pulled over?
Yeah, I'm on the Eastern Freeway.
We'd better get cracking.
I might do the Rat Pack question now, Judith.
Go crazy.
Name the five members of the Rat Pack, Jordana.
Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett.
No. Sorry.
Ba-bow.
No Tony Bennett.
No Tony Bennett.
In Tony Bennett's dreams, I would imagine.
Well, there you go. There you go. That's how much I know.
Lovely to speak to you, Jordana.
Likewise.
In a positive, Micah will actually be getting home soon now.
We're on our way to somewhere. We're actually late now.
Oh, wow.
Where are you off to?
We're just near Springvale Road exit.
And is it a, I don't know, is it a barbecue? Is it a social gathering?
It is a social gathering. It's a barbecue with a bunch of friends.
Wow.
Well, have a lovely evening.
Yeah, you guys too. It's been great. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, haven't you got a story? Pleasure. Haven't you got a story to tell the barbecue now, Jordana?
Yeah, sorry we're late. I just got pulled over by a radio quiz.
Yes, that's right. We forced you to the side of the road. Answer these questions. Thank you, Jordana.
Take care, guys.
You
bye-bye.
Too. See ya.
Bye.
Oh, I feel like I'm making new friends.
Yeah, well, you are. Let's see if Rachel's a friend of yours from Ascot Vale. Rachel, where's that?
Northwest.
Of this, we're actually, amazingly, Rachel, I know after listening you wouldn't believe it, but we're actually going around Australia, so Ascot Vale.
We're
in,
not torturing just one state. We're taking this baby national.
Victoria.
Victoria.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Rachel.
You know the showgrounds?
I do.
Yeah.
Near there?
Yeah.
Great.
I'm glad you don't actually live on the showgrounds. Mm.
As we all are.
I mean, it would be fun occasionally, but maybe we should move on.
Rachel, now, can you name the five members of the Rat Pack?
I've got four of them. This was Frankie.
Yes, Frank Sinatra. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. Dino.
I like this casual approach
you've
got.
You're making me work hard to hear there. Dean Martin, yes?
Yeah. Sammy.
Davis
Jr. Did you know them?
Peter Lawford.
Ah, yes. Formal.
I don't know the fifth one.
It is. He's often forgotten.
He was the funny guy.
Well,
sort of.
Funny.
Yeah, it's quite a good debate, actually, Rachel, how funny he was.
Is he America's answer to Jacques Tati?
No.
I'm glad you're here, Judith.
But I've got to be honest and say I'm glad America doesn't have an answer to Jacques Tati. Look, here's a clue.
Yeah, I'll try not to give the actual answer.
No, I'm not going to do that, but I was going to say his last name might be a chess piece. Yeah,
this
look.
This is
it's a long bow.
Play much chess, Rachel?
No.
No.
No, not. I was wondering, did Judith get married?
That's amazingly, Rachel, that is quiz question number
Rachel,
four tonight.
That's a sad story. But thank you for bringing it up. No, I was engaged there for a while, but unfortunately that tragically broke up. So, Australia, yes, pick yourselves up off the floor. I'm currently single.
So, still on the shelf. Back on the
market, I like to say.
Don't
thanks,
take
Rachel.
Dusted off a few times.
Just be careful, Rachel.
I feel this is getting a little personal, Rachel.
It's starting to turn a bit ugly, Rachel. We might go back to the question.
And I think you've stalled long enough, young lady. Let's leave my personal life out of it and see if you know who the last member of the Rat Pack is.
Well, it was Frank, Dean, Sammy, Peter.
That's not helping you, Rachel. Repeating it isn't.
Lawford.
Yeah, Lawford was a. Not many people get Peter Lawford, but of course.
Okay, I'll say Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, no.
You know what?
He was the
nice try,
leader.
But you're an idiot,
Rachel. Rachel, that's a good guess.
It was a very good guess.
Not the right answer.
Okay.
Good on you, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel.
Let's go to Michael in Anglesey. That's a good clue too. I like the fact that your clue didn't actually give away the answer. Michael from Anglesey, are you there?
Am I mentally challenged? I know the difference between a clue and an answer. Sorry, hello, Michael.
Oh, hello, Judith, how are you?
I'm very well, and you?
Good, thank you.
Do you know what question we're on?
We're on the Rat Pack, I think.
We are.
And can you drive this baby home, Michael?
I think you're after the fifth, aren't you? You've already had the four. I think it's a Joey Bishop.
Oh, round of applause.
Well done, Michael. You're well known, well versed with the Rat Pack, eh? Because not many people know Joey Bishop, by the way, the fifth member, actually the fourth and fifth member.
Don't ask me the other four, though.
No, that's all right. We've got them. Joey Bishop could have been anyone. The fifth member of the Rat Pack could have been anyone.
Yeah, let's face it, dead weight. It was really Frankie, Dino, and Sammy.
It was too. They used to. Now let's go to some.
And we
cricket.
All know Peter Lawford was responsible for Marilyn Monroe's murder.
Is that defamation?
Could be.
Let's go with cricket, because the Ashes are...
Really? We can't go with the nursery rhyme question?
No, the nursery rhyme question's coming, but don't worry. The Ashes officially finished today.
Yep.
Who was named Man of the Series, Michael?
Are you a cricket fan,
I'll
Michael?
Give you a tip, but
I'm not a cricket fan, but I'd have to say Cook batted the best.
Yeah, you'd be right. Alistair Cook. My clue there was going to be not an Australian.
I think even I could have guessed that.
Let's go with the music question as I look out to Al, my producer, and you get to listen to something, and all you have to do is tell me what the song is. Listen to this.
Hello?
Hello.
We're still here, Michael.
Good, I was wondering. Ring of Fire, I think.
Bye.
I fell into a ring of fire.
No, yeah, that's Ring of Fire is fine. Who's the artist?
That'd be Johnny Cash.
Well done.
Oh, but who wrote it?
Ooh, I would...
Joey Bishop?
Would it be his wife, the girl Carter, and him?
Very good, June Carter.
Oh.
Well done, Michael.
Let's go with... Margaret, you're on fire. The yak, as in the animal, is native to which...
What else is it going to be?
It's native to...
The yak, as in the country.
Yeah, or the boat, or the car.
Yep. Okay.
The yak, as in the animal, is native to which continent?
The continent, the Asia.
That is correct. You a fan of the yak?
I like them.
Who doesn't love a long-haired bovine?
I love yaks. I'm yak friendly.
There's a T-shirt. I love yaks. Let's,
Can I have that?
You can. Where are we at? We're Michael at Anglesey. Michael, one more before we play.
Are you even listening? Are you making any kind of effort?
Michael, this is a...
Sorry, Michael. Yeah. I care. I remembered who you were.
Let's go with... Well, actually, it's time for your question, Judith.
Oh, okay. I've only got one question, Michael, and basically, as I mentioned earlier, it is just about me. But I will... Pardon me. You know that New Year's resolution to give up smoking hasn't quite kicked in.
Yep.
Michael, I'll give you this clue.
What about the question first?
Yeah, I'm just... This is how helpful I am. I'm giving a clue before I even ask the question. Because otherwise you could think, well, that's a difficult question. How on earth will he get that? I grew up Catholic, Michael, so just remember that. And the question is, what is my middle name?
Joey Bishop?
Bernadette.
Oh, did you have a Catholic upbringing?
I did.
Oh, who's the most famous chick? The most famous chick.
Michael's had two guesses.
You're right.
So
sorry,
I've got to
Michael.
Reward some of the other people that have called. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Have a lovely evening. Let's go to Anne from Caulfield. Anne, you're very fortunate to have joined the quiz for Judith Lucy's question.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Did you catch the question, Anne?
Yeah, I got the clue. Would it be Mary?
Bingo.
Oh, well done, Anne.
You will find that almost every Catholic girl's middle name is Mary, Margaret or Marie. That has been my experience. Catholic upbringing for you, Anne?
No.
Lucky you. But may I say, you have my mother's name. So I'm feeling some kind of deep connection with you.
Okay.
Anne, if you can just hold the line, we're going to play another track and come back to you with the finish of the quiz.
Okay.
Sorry to do that, Anne.
Because I want to play this beautiful song by Scarlett Johansson and Pete Yawn.
Really?
Yeah, it's called...
We have to listen to her sing as
I'll just see if Al is
her
it a short...
Her acting is irritating enough.
Hold on, how short a song is it, Al? Oh, no, it's a short song, it's fine.
Oh, well, thank God for small mercies.
This is Scarlett Johansson and Pete Yawn with Relator.
Yawn is right.
Relator, here it is.
Our number is 1-300-800-222.
Welcome back. You may not have even gone anywhere. You were listening to Scarlett Johansson and Pete Yawn with their beautiful track, Relator.
You know, just stick to one thing. You know, she's not that great at acting. Concentrate on one thing and get good at that.
What are you doing, rants? You're doing a rant?
Maybe I am. Scarlett. Hello, Anne. How are you going?
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your feelings on Scarlett Johansson?
Not much.
Yeah, she's a one-trick pony. She's the new Juliette Lewis.
Thank you. Anne, don't worry. Don't
exactly my don't, point, Anne. Don't. That's what everyone will be saying in a few years about Scarlett Johansson.
You kind of, the business end of the quiz, don't let Judith clutter your mind with ridiculous minutia.
Oh, now that's just rude.
Anne?
I'm here to help you out, Pang.
Well,
that's what I get, a slap in the face.
You helped me out by pointing me in the direction of the nursery rhyme question for tonight. Anne?
Because who doesn't love a nursery rhyme? Am I right, Anne?
That's very good, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Well, I think people love them. I think they know, but they don't know them as well as they think they do.
Well, we'll find out if Anne does.
And all you have to do is finish this nursery rhyme, okay? So when I stop speaking, you pick it up.
Okay,
Anne. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her poor doggy a bone.
Oh, when she got there, the cupboard was bare. The poor little doggy had none.
Word for word, perfect, Anne.
Well done,
absolutely
Anne.
Brilliant.
What's that?
Must have passed kindergarten a while ago.
Well, if that's the last time you heard it, which, you know, that's a very good memory, Anne. It's not the most uplifting story, though, is it?
Hardly any of them are. Let's not even get into Ring a Ring a Rosie.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It is horrible, Anne.
Okay, Anne, guess what? Time for the
beer and rodeo, detective books and dominoes, football games and Cheerios. And sticking around with you.
You're speaking of Scarlett Johansson and her foray into music. That was Burt Reynolds' foray into music when he was singing duet with Dolly Parton called Sneaking Around.
Yeah, but when you've got the kind of talent that Burt has, you can venture into any field.
Anne, are you a Burt Reynolds fan?
No, I sort of mentioned that the other night, I think.
not a big fan.
Not really.
Well, you've been on before, Anne.
Yeah.
Good to have you back.
It doesn't mean I've known the answers before.
No, that's all right, Anne. I like that you've got the Burt Reynolds question again. Here we go. Very easy. How old is Burt Reynolds?
I haven't got a clue. Is it a round number?
Well, it's a number.
It's an even number.
It's an even number.
Yeah.
It's not like a zero number type thing.
Well, no. Now are you going to keep going with this, Anne? Are you going to say, does it end in a two?
I've given clues to everyone.
You have given clues to everyone.
Well, I was thinking of a way to put Anne in the ballpark. I mean, take a run at it. He's not 40.
Oh, Anne, how old do you think he looks?
Exactly. Well, that's difficult because he said goodbye to his face some time ago.
I would say late 60s.
Oh, really? You're being quite kind.
It's a bit higher than that, Anne.
Okay, 73. Oh, no, it's an even number, 74.
Anne.
Oh, I think we've got to give it to her, don't we?
Well, we do, but he's correct.
Oh.
Well done, Anne. See? Burt Reynolds has come through for you.
He looks a few years younger than his age.
He does, doesn't he? I think he looks beautiful.
Yeah, but he can't move his head anymore. And there's that he's done some dreadful things to
you
that face of his.
I'm finding it hard to hold a straight face now.
Well, now you know how Burt feels. Zing.
This is the last question of the quiz, I'm being told. Anne, you're a chance of... is that right, Al? Yes, here we are. This is the last question.
Oh, my God, Anne, are you ready?
Yep.
Hey, Anne, if you get this question right, what do you think you'll take from the ABC gift shop?
Oh, I don't know. Sheep station, a cattle station.
A sheep station?
You know, we're talking really big prizes.
You're a crazy optimist, Anne, and I love you for that. You'll be lucky if you get a bananas and pyjamas pencil. But, you know...
Oh, bananas and pyjamas are cute too.
Anne, what about...
That's right, Anne, any port in a storm.
I've been trying to move Rumpole of the Bailey series DVDs all week, but no one's going for them, Anne.
Well, I've got a couple of his books. They're pretty good.
Good. Okay. I think I might be finally moving some units on the end of the week. And the final question in tonight's quiz... If someone suffers from glossophobia, what are they afraid of?
I don't know.
Oh, whatever. Come You've got on, Anne. You've Your come last... this close to winning a sheep station. Don't just give us an I don't know.
Your last guess.
I think there's a word, it might be cats, but I'm not sure if that's the one for cats or whatever. So I'll just say cats and good night.
Cats and good night.
And Anne... And good night to you.
See you later.
Thanks very much.
Oh, that
all
got a bit too Ronnie's, didn't it? I'm sorry that we had to say goodbye to Anne like that, although I did like the way she simply said cats and goodbye.
So did I. I'm going up to Newcastle now, and I'm speaking to Sue. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
How are you going?
Very well, thank you.
This is the final question in the quiz. If you get this right, you win.
Oh, that'd be lovely. I love Rum Pole. When you said you couldn't shift it, I couldn't believe it.
No.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
I love Rum Pole.
Yeah, no, you'll get to choose.
Good luck, Sue.
Here we go, Sue. If someone suffers from glossophobia, what are they afraid of?
Well, glosso is the tongue. Usually, you know, glossitis is inflammation. So I suppose it's maybe speaking or...
Oh, I am so impressed, Sue.
Well done, Sue. It's fear of public speaking. That's good enough for us. Especially...
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. And I'm a great fan. I saw you guys the other day on... I can't even say it now. ADBC.
Well,
you saw us both.
I saw you both. It must have been a repeat, maybe. And you were Judith was on.
Yeah.
Oh, and God, love you.
Oh no,
Sue.
No. This you saw us on SBS. ADBC. The episode you came. Oh yeah, that's right. We were both there.
Yeah, you were. It was just a couple of days ago.
Good on you,
love
Sue.
That, sir.
Oh, Sue, that's very
Didn't
nice.
Didn't he do a sterling job as the host?
He did. By the way, it's Viv. I think the man must have heard my name wrong.
Oh, Viv.
Yeah, no, but I think, you know, when I say it, everyone always says Sue, so I mustn't say my name very clearly.
Well, either way.
But I prefer Sue, actually, so let's I think I'll become Sue.
Oh, no, Viv's great. Who doesn't like Viv? You trust someone called Viv.
Oh, do you? Oh.
Absolutely you do, Viv. Well, it's been delightful.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening and thank you for watching that show.
Thank you.
Hold the line. We'll get your details. Who would have thought that so there was the one viewer. So well done, Sue, from Newcastle, or Viv. Now, Judith.
Sam.
How have you enjoyed the cricket at all?
Just not at all. As you know, I haven't watched a game of cricket since 1987.
When Mr. Michael Holding was still playing.
Exactly. You know, you and I could talk about the West Indies team of the 1980s for a long time.
But we're not going to.
No, we're not.
Because we're going to talk to one of the great stories that come out of the Ashes campaign is the tale of Ashley Karakas, the 22-year-old from Massachusetts, who basically her Twitter account is called The Ashes. So in the lead-up to the first test, she began receiving all these messages, had no idea what was going on.
Isn't the world crazy?
I know. And how can I say this? A big airline, a large Australian airline, have found her and flown her out to this week's test, and she joins us on the line. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
Ashley, where could you start other than asking you, what have you made of cricket?
It's a really interesting sport. There's a lot of strategy. It's pretty complicated, but once you kind of get the hang of it, it's fun to watch.
Ashley, do you really feel you have to say that because you've scored a free trip over here? And in reality, do you think I couldn't care less whether I saw another game of cricket for the rest of my life?
No, I really do find it interesting.
Oh, I think you laughed and said it all, Ashley, but...
What's that?
I said, I think you laughed and may have said it all. What sport do you like in America? Are you a big sports fan?
I watch a bit of football, American football.
You don't have to tell me about American football. I've become obsessed with the show Friday Night Lights.
I've heard a lot about that. I think it was Eric Bana was telling me that he likes that show.
Well, you know, the great thing is that it's a high school gridiron team, but basically they're playing 17-year-olds, but the actors are about 32. So
that's how it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the whole Beverly Hills 90210 thing going on.
Actually, just subtly dropped in Eric Banner's name there. That's who you watch the cricket with?
Actually, Steve Waugh invited us up to watch cricket with him on Monday, and Eric Banner was sitting directly in front of me. I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
Can you believe this has happened? All because, am I correct in saying that your boyfriend, your nickname is Ashes?
Yeah, that's correct.
So what was it like in the lead-up to the first test? You were just leading a normal life with just so many followers, and then what happened?
I had 300 followers, and, you know, I was just tweeting about random things, knitting, TV shows, things like that. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I started getting these tweets about cricket, and I had my phone set so that it would send me notifications when people would tweet me because it was just friends, so it was almost like, you know, text messaging or something. So it wasn't getting any in the middle of the night, so it wasn't a big deal to have my phone on. But all of a sudden, I get all these messages in the middle of the night talking about cricket and wanting to know the score. And sorry. I was really confused, and I was like, well, why don't people just, you know, look at my profile? You can see my picture. It has nothing to do with cricket. You can see that the profile is, you know, pink and flowers. It's not cricket.
What was the kind of most confusing thing about cricket as you watched it for the first time?
It was definitely all the terminology, and they talk about, you know, the fielding positions, like silly mid-on, and I didn't even know what a wicket was to start with, and...
Well, you're on one, Ashley. Ashley, can I just go back a little bit and say, when you said that you would tweet about knitting, what do you tweet about knitting?
I think just that I mostly just said, you know, talk about what I'm going to make next, and, you know, people suggest, you know, okay, it's wintertime, what should I knit myself or whatever. I don't remember exactly what I was saying, but not a lot.
What are you going to knit next?
You know, Brian had asked me to knit him a scarf, and I had kind of started on one, and then things got really crazy, and it's not something you can bring on the plane with you, play on the knitting needles, they don't let you do that, so... I might do that for him. Maybe he'd still want that. It is still winter in other parts of the world. So.
Well, Ashley, I hope you've enjoyed your little trip out here to Australian summer, and I hope you've enjoyed the cricket.
I have.
And what amazing story. Thank you so much for coming on ABC Local Radio.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks.
Ashley might consider changing that name.
And she, you know, I'm glad
maybe
she
like to Wimbledon,
went,
the Wimbledon
to
or something
blow
like
her
that.
Nose. Yes,
did.
You're right. She could just go to sports events all over the world.
If she just changes it to Wimbledon or Tour de France, all of a sudden she'll be she would end up reporting on all those events. Ashley Karakas, the 22-year-old from Massachusetts. Is that how you say? That's how I'm going. That's what I'm going with. In the US, given a very abrupt lesson in cricket. Her phone began continually buzzing in the middle of the night.
Let's let the story go now, really.
Good story. We're coming up to news time. Thank you to everyone who rang for the quiz. You can join us anytime, 1-300-800-222, or text 19774-774. I'm with Judith Lucy. Judith, after the news, we're speaking to Michael Williams.
Magnificent.
About...
I'm already having the time of my life. I didn't think it could get any better.
He is the head of programming at the Centre for Books, Writing and Ideas down there in Melbourne, and he's going to be just steering us in the right direction for some summer reads.
Well, you know what? I've written a book and I've got ideas, so I'm just going to be in my element.
Stay tuned after the news.
Summer with Sam Payne. On ABC Local Radio.
Yes, you are with Sam Pang. I'm here with Judith Lucy. Hope you enjoyed the news. Now, this hour, we're going
to
be talking...
Interesting approach to say, I hope you enjoyed the news.
I like to include the news as part of the show.
I mean, I like that. I like the inclusivity, but sometimes the news has bad news.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's just the way it is.
But that's, well, life is suffering.
I know the news is trying to distance itself from this show, but I like to include them every chance I get. We are talking books, Judith Lucy. I didn't say author, did I? One of
no,
the few things I left
you
out.
You said director,
of course,
for no apparent reason.
Of course, the Lucy family alphabet is the name of your book, of which I think our next guest is a fan. Michael Williams.
That's made it awkward if he's not.
Is the head of programming at the Centre for Books, Writing and Ideas in Melbourne. Recently named one of Melbourne's 100 most influential people.
So I'm the only person in the studio who wasn't on that list.
Sorry.
Sure you
what
are.
A miss that is. Now he'll be talking books. If you're with some of his picks, if you're looking for a good read this summer, or if you're on holidays or working, just welcome to ABC Local Radio, Michael Williams.
Thanks, Sam. Pleasure to be here. Hi, Judith.
Lovely to see you, Mr.
I am a fan of the Lucy family alphabet. I do can't help but notice that in the previous hour you were very negative about Scarlett Johansson having many strings to her bow, but you can add author to your own particular repertoire.
Yes,
you're not. And your Hanson like in your
like Burt Reynolds. Some of us just have so much talent. We just can't give it to one particular outlet.
Fair enough. Do you prefer author or memoirist?
I also love to dance. You know, I don't just want to say memoirist because Surely there's a novel in me somewhere.
The follow-up book, the difficult second book.
Yes, which I am, in fact, writing as we speak. So let's move on.
Excellent. All right, well, we'll ask all kinds of probing questions about that to put you off.
Sorry?
Well, you can't answer questions. Mid-writing is generally the accepted wisdom by writers, that nothing is more guaranteed to put you off that elusive second book than describing it all away.
All of that has made me just want to throw my arms into the air and run from the studio screaming. Well, so thanks, Michael.
I am to reassure.
I think you'll be fine. Yeah, the contractual obligation is a very, very powerful motivating factor.
That's true. And, you know, publishing houses know what they're doing because they give you a lot of the money at the end of the process. Well, so, you know, even if I'm writing just straight out of my bottom, I'll be finishing that baby.
Magic. And that's when you get it all back.
I don't mean to, but before we get to your book, Sir Michael, there is just no chance that the second book, not yours in particular, just in general, second book, second album, second movie, can be as good.
Godfather 2.
Michael, what about some... Yeah, that's all right. That's one of the few. But what I'm saying is, in general, the person, the artist, has their whole life leading up to that first book, the first movie.
But they've grown. They've learned as an artist.
Yeah. They've had anywhere from 18 to 30 years for that first one. Yeah, they've grown and they've built and now they're in the industry, but they've got about 8 months to come up with the next one.
Yeah, but can I just say that in my case, I mean, that's sort of implying that I care.
Yeah.
That, you know, I've spent years of my life just waiting to release a book, whereas the reality is, I just really couldn't have cared either way. So, you know, I'll put that amount of effort into the second book and fingers crossed.
See what happens.
Well, also, if it's not a memoir, it won't be quite as personally tinged. You won't be putting your whole life into it.
To be perfectly honest, that's all I've got, Michael. I don't have any imagination. I will just be banging on about me yet again.
Good. Under a pseudonym, Schmudith Schussi or something.
That's catchy.
Catchy, I know.
There's a poor name waiting to happen.
There's the ideas just pouring out of me.
Michael Williams, does the literary world come alive in summer?
It's a funny time.
Does the literary world ever come alive?
Oh, see, that's just rude now. You've been invited to various literary parties.
And I've loved them too.
And I'll have you know that we have a good knees up in the book world. No, summer's a funny period for publishing houses because you don't bring out your big titles in the immediate lead up to Christmas. That might sound counterintuitive, but the books that you want to sell at Christmas time rely on that certain word of mouth quality. So for most publishers, the Christmas season kicks off in about June. They bring out their big new titles any time from kind of June to September, October, in the hope that the reviews, the word of mouth means that by the time people are buying their Christmas presents for each other, they're writing their lists for themselves. That's the book that's on their list.
So
that's
a slow burn.
Slow burn tends to have a better effect. Right up on the edge of Christmas, it's the silly season. You can't get proper review coverage. You can't get proper attention for a book. So you want that kind of chance to give it a bit of air so that by the time Christmas comes around, everyone's jockeying to pick their favourites from the year and choose which ones they're going to devote the summer months to.
Was 2010 a good year?
Every year's a good year, Sam. Really? The world of literature is a broad church, so there's something for everyone in there. Probably every year's not a good year. From a financial perspective, I think books have done it tough in the past couple of years. The GFC seems to have hit people right where they buy books for some reason. Who knows why?
Is there any indication that that's going to improve?
Look, all kinds of things are happening in the world of books, just as in the world of music or in the world of television. The digital age is changing the way people consume these things, so that I think booksellers and publishers alike are somewhat nervously watching and waiting to see how that's going to change with books, whether... I don't know how many of your listeners here tonight, Sam, got an e-book for Christmas to sit on the beach and thumb through their iPad. I shouldn't say a product name.
No, from a personal note, I hope not too many, because I actually, you know, the romance of still having a book in your hand is, you know...
Didn't have you pegged as a romantic, Sam. You like
thumbing
the pages?
You know he loves Notting Hill.
I do. I'm a massive... You know I love romance and...
certain kind of packaged romance. You saw The Notebook three times, did you? That's why you don't want to...
No, I did see... My worst one in terms of romantic comedies in the genre of film is I have seen Message in a Bottle with...
You're a massive Robbie Coltrane fan.
Kevin Costner and Robin Wright, Penn. I have seen that three times.
Good God.
Sure.
I'm reeling from the fact that you've seen it once.
You love yaks? and I saw message in the bottle three times. No, wow. but that's a cultural low point. Yeah, it is. That will always be the having the book in your hand will always be important, won't it?
Jane Austen. A lot of people say that.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Jane Austen in Persuasion. Writes about that feeling you get when you're reading a book and that anxiety you feel when you see the pages are thinning and you know that you're coming to the end. And it's hard to imagine having that same feeling for a little scroll bar getting close to the bottom. It's hard to imagine that kind of visceral connection, but maybe it'll change. What is incredibly hard to imagine, though, is taking your ebook to the beach or to the pool or those classic summer read moments where you just want to kick back and thumb through a book and it gets a bit battered and the spine gets a bit bent, and it's hard to know how the digital age will cope with it.
And of course, that old one about leaving once you finished a book, leaving it on a train. You can't do that with one of those products.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's that would hurt a little to see that go as you hop off at the central station.
Now, have you got some? Can you point us in the direction?
I've got a few. In fact, it's here in Melbourne. It's quite warm today, and so I was at my local swimming pool this afternoon.
Yes, the first day of summer has finally arrived.
It's here. There's nothing like the magic of seasons changing. About two-thirds of the way through, and summer did hit today. So I was at my local swimming pool, Brunswick Baths, and I did that thing where every second person who wasn't looking after the welfare of a child was reading a book. And so I looked through to see what was there. Because when we think summer reading and good summer reads, we tend to think pulpy, I reckon. We tend to think, what are the blockbusters or what are the real page turners? Or a good summer read suggests something that's not too taxing. And the first three books that I saw people reading at Brunswick Baths this afternoon, someone was reading Ayn Rand, The Fountainhead. Someone was reading To Kill a Mockingbird, and the third person was reading James Joyce's Ulysses.
Good Lord.
And I thought, firstly, there's something wrong with Brunswick Baths. Mm. But I did think about what it is that makes a good choice to read in the summertime. And I have to say, I don't mind catching up on a classic.
Well, speaking of To Kill a Mockingbird difficult second book, Harper Lee would be a very good example.
You think she's due for the sequel?
She is due.
Atticus Finch rides again?
No, yeah.
Do you really think you needed to bring that back about 10 minutes after we let it go?
No, it's just about a classic, To Kill a Mockingbird. You know the last thing that Harper Lee wrote? An open letter to Oprah Winfrey.
Really?
Yes.
That is sad,
I say more power
actually.
To her, Sam. Oh, really? I like a person who knows how many stories they've got to tell and tells only that many and stops right after it. There are enough writers who continue beyond the time at which they should probably hang up their pen.
Are you going to give us some classics?
The thing about classics in summer is I think reading's a bit like sleeping. I think it's one of those immersive activities that you have different depths that you go into when you're reading. So most of the time when we're commuting on the way to work or we're snatching a few pages in a lunch break or whatever, we do the reading equivalent of REM reading. We're aware of what's going on in the background, we're easily distracted, we come out of the book. And the delight about summer reading when you're lying on a beach or you're having a sleep in with a book or whatever it is that you're letting yourself go into that deep reading moment where you just give over to the book and you absolutely get sucked into the world of it. And that's a beautiful feeling, and it's a good opportunity, I would argue, to pick up a classic. Pick up that book that has been eluding you. Be the person at Brunswick Baths with Ulysses and say, you know what, I've never managed to get beyond the first sentence because it runs for about 48 pages. So I'm going to give it a whirl over summer and I can really sink into it. A few summers ago, I decided to read Proust over summer. God knows why, but I thought it was
worth. How did that go?
Well, it went fine. I was racing through it over a couple of weeks. I was really, really enjoying it, probably not very good company for friends and family. And then the holidays ended when I was kind of halfway through book four, Sodom and Gomorrah, and it took me a good 2 years to finish the last book, just as a consequence, because I was out of that kind of summer mode where I could just give over and read something.
Last classic that you read, Judith?
Oh, that's a really good question, and absolutely nothing is coming to mind.
Surely in preparation.
Surely
in preparation for Judith's family alphabet, there was a fair bit of Dickens.
No, but the straw I was going to grasp at was I did watch Little Dorrit on television.
God, it was good, wasn't it?
It was excellent.
And the ABC's production of Little Dorrit, the adaptation written by Andrew Davies, who was the one who did Pride and Prejudice a good probably 15, 20 years ago now, but is a very good adapter of literary properties. And the Dickens thing is a good way to go over summer, I reckon. There's something give over to that kind of Dickensian urge.
I don't think I've read a classic since high school, if I'm completely honest.
Look, I love where you're pointing us. It is a great, you know, it's the whole, I've read more Garfield books than I have, classics. It's probably, I'm your audience here.
Well, I'm just saying that Judith's by no means alone. We have them kind of served up to us in sometimes a less than palatable fashion at school, and then we kind of get out of there and you read it for pleasure and you lose track of that kind of reading that requires that you give over to a rhythm, to an approach, to language, to a world that isn't your own. And so you kind of lose that openness, I reckon. And there's a lot to be found in it. There's a lot of joy. Now, that said, I say that. I'm a sucker for a good crime novel. Summer tends to be when I'll grab the one or two crime books that I've missed in the year and sit and read through them at a cracking pace just for the sheer indulgence of it, because that doesn't have to have anything to do with
work.
So
what are we talking?
Well, this is Miles Franklin, award winner, of course, was a crime novel, which is a notable thing in and of itself. And I know you're a fan of
Peter Temple.
And Truth, which won the Miles Franklin Award. One nice thing to do going into summer is look back at the award winners from the year and catch up with them. Last summer, you could see a lot of people carrying around the massive brick that was Hilary Mantel's Wolf Hall. Great, cracking historical novel, wonderful read. That had won the Man Booker Prize of 2009. The 2010 winner of the Booker was a book called The Finkler Question by Howard Jacobson. It's not one of mine.
Can I just say, you are allowed to say that you didn't like it.
Okay, I didn't like it.
All right.
I didn't like it. Not a fan.
Did you like Truth?
I love Truth.
And the one before that was The Broken Shore.
Yep.
I loved that.
Well, it's an exciting moment when a literary prize goes to what is ostensibly a genre work. It doesn't happen very often. There tends to be this divide about whether something's worthy and literary or whether it's enjoyable and an indulgence.
The highest compliment I can actually pay Peter Temple is that I became so obsessed with the character Jack Irish that I think he's written a trilogy of Jack Irish books.
Well, may even have hit four now.
I was so busy fantasizing about Jack Irish one day while I was winding my watch that I broke it. So Temple owes me $125.
It's hopefully he's listening tonight, and the check's in the mail.
Yeah, cough up,
send that through. Michael, you're staying with us right up to, as long as I can keep you. Judith Lucy.
And please, as long as I can keep you. Don't leave me alone in here with him.
It was so harmonious over the quiz.
That was a long quiz. We're going to keep talking books. Maybe you've got one that you'd like to suggest for summer, 1-300-800-222. But first, let's hear a track from The Police.
Oh, you mix it up, don't you?
I know, you can't pigeonhole me. Who knows what I'm going to do? We go into a song, and it's Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic.
Summer with Sam Payne on ABC Local Radio.
Great to have your country wherever you... Great to have your country. Great to have your company wherever you are right around.
Are you drunk?
Almost. This country. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm here with Judith Lucy and Michael Williams, and we're talking books for summer, or actually just any time, really. But before the...
Especially summer.
Yeah, well, we've had some callers. 1-300-800-222, if you've got any suggestions, because between the... I was going to say the three of us, but actually between the two of you... we may be able to get somewhere. So let's go to Tara from Frankston.
Hello.
Hello, Tara.
How are you?
Very well.
I had a couple of suggestions. Now, Judith, you're not to vomit here.
Oh, I can't guarantee that, Tara. I mean,
Judith loves a yak.
I love a yak, and I love to vomit. No, Tara, why would I vomit?
Well, because you may have been through the Vulgar Vulgate before.
I beg your pardon?
The Vulgar Vulgate Bible.
You're about to recommend a Bible?
I'm about to recommend a Bible.
Look, Tara, it's a new one on me as well. Talk us through it.
Please. As long as Scarlett Johansson hasn't written it, I'll be fine.
No, Scarlett Johansson did not. It's just going back to bare basics, the AKJV 1611, right? Authorised King James 1611. Look, I'm sorry, it's the history of the world. Have a read. Open it up. I did. I just opened it up. It's a good book.
Tara, is it a book you go back to often?
Hey?
Is it a book you go back to often? Is it one that you think measures up for a reread?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look, I'm the first person to admit that there are some cracking tales in there. How often does a chick get turned into a pillar of salt? Not that often.
It's awesome. You know, go Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, right. Look, you've got burning bushes, having a chat. You've got, there's something for everyone in the Bible. I love it when Abraham nearly kills his son Isaac and then God goes, punked, just kidding. Didn't really want you to kill him after all.
Exactly.
No, honestly,
he's
there's some
it.
Top
yeah.
stuff.
He knows what Faith's about, baby.
And talk about fantasy.
And
the whole
about Lot and his daughters.
Oh, and the whole virgin birth thing.
Well,
and you've got to know how much I love turning water into wine.
It's got it going on. It's got it going
Tara,
on. Check it out. You've got to have a read. Most people don't even know it.
I will, Tara.
So have a look. And one more.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop, Judith, because you're ruining it for everyone, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
You're giving away
sorry.
The ending.
Right.
Yeah.
He Office rises from the dead on the
one.
Third
Office
day.
Good old Protestant Gaul.
What?
Good old Catholic Church. Yeah, killing the Protestants.
What
look at that one.
What else you got, Tara?
I don't mind Steinbeck and Mice and Men.
Of Mice
Classic.
And Men is a wonderful
yeah.
read, Tara.
East of Eden, another good one.
Ah, there you go. Talk about Old Testament, East of Eden.
But, look, I say that in all honesty. I think that everyone's got to have a little pick-up. Everyone's got one on their bookshelf.
Yep.
But, not everyone, Tara.
Well, okay, let's say, 90%?
Yeah,
well,
I think that's optimistic. But it's still a great suggestion. But I think I might go with Steinbeck. Thank you.
Thank you, Tara.
No worries.
I think everyone's
got
good on you.
I think everyone's got a copy of Oscar and Lucinda on their bookshelf. It's just a theory of mine. It seems to always be there.
I always find when if I ever go to the beach, when you're staying at someone's house or you're renting, there's always a lot of war books. Why is that?
I think that says something about the people whose houses you go to, Sam. But no, absolutely. One of the things I like that Tara pointed towards there is the thrill of the reread as well. The old reliable that you go back to again and again because you
know, I've
know
never,
what you're
ever done the reread.
Never reread
really?
A book.
No, because I get consumed with guilt because I feel that there are so many books that I haven't read that the thought of rereading, I just
that's
think I can't possibly do it.
Good
of
point.
Course, I do it with movies all the time. But
I have to confess, I've never reread Tim Winton's Cloud Street, which I loved, but I'm nervous that it might not stack up to a reread, that my memory of it is so well-formed, I think, and I so
weirdly,
love the memory that I won't go back.
That is exactly at the top of my reread list because I loved it so much as well.
Well, can I just say the top of my list over here is Vicky from Griffith.
You are so professional.
Hello, Vicky.
Hello, how are you going?
Very well. Do you have some suggestions for us?
Oh, well, yeah, I've just Well, I'm nearly 40, and it's a bit sad, but I've only just started reading again over the last year.
Vicky, as a 42-year-old, can I say your life's about to start?
Well, I sort of made myself a promise. I bought a few books, and I thought, okay, now I've limited myself because I don't find the time to read them. So I've only read a few, but yours is one, Judith.
Oh, God bless you, Vicky.
Yes, it was lovely. I had a few chapters.
Can I put that on the back of the next book? Vicky, lovely.
Yes, yes. And The Death Chambers. I can't remember who wrote it, but, I'm starting to worry about the titles of books that I'm buying because they all seem to be surrounded by death.
Vicky, what makes you choose a book? As someone who's just coming back to reading, what do you stand in your bookshop or your local library and read the blurbs? Do you do it by recommendation? What makes you want to pick up a book?
Yeah, pretty much that. I sort of go there and read the blurbs. I go to the bookshops and look at it, and I think, oh, geez, that sounds all right. Something that catches your eye straight off.
And what else has caught your eye?
Oh, at the moment I'm reading, Ozzy Osbourne's book. I read that one. That was fun.
Wow, I reckon he's probably making my life look pretty together.
His book was called The Osborne Family Alphabet. There's a bit of a bit of overlap there.
Alrighty.
Yeah, it was between the two of them. It was you sort of read the books and you sort of because everyone sort of got their own perception on life, don't they? And reading the books, you kind of think, well, hey, you know, like we're all normal.
If
point.
I could make you feel normal, then I've done my job, Vicky.
Oh, well, there you go. But, yeah, I sort of, between reading all the books, I think, I've got a couple of kids, and so I seem to try and snatch a few hours here and there, and sometimes the book may take a while, but yeah, they, the Death Chambers, and,
Ozzy Osbourne and Me.
I know. Oh, there's a few more in between that, an old book I found at a reject shop or a St. Vinny's shop, but, I did read one. I've wiped this on my memory now, but if they say money back guarantee if you do not enjoy this book, don't buy it.
Thank you,
Vicky. Good tip, Vicky. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vicky.
Okay, bye.
See you, Vicky.
Vicky from Griffith there. Let's go to Max. Max?
Hello.
Hello, Max.
How are you?
I think you've got one that might be very, very close to Michael's heart.
Oh, yes. I read The Catcher in the Rye last year and loved it.
Did you manage to get to it before Salinger died?
No.
Well, that's okay, though. That's a good inspiration to go back to some of these books.
Yes, it is. My wife read it the year before, and she loved it as well. And I think it's a good book for many reasons, but one of the reasons is it's very accessible. It's not a heavy tome by any means, and so it's a fairly small book. So if you're looking for a light, quick read, it's a wonderful book. The character in it is very accessible.
That's on my reread list, I've got to say.
And Max, I'm glad you enjoyed it so much, because it is a book that one of the dangers with visiting a classic that you've heard a lot about elsewhere in kind of culture is that there's a lot of baggage around it. Catcher in the Rye is a book that is weighted with decades of kind of extra meaning piled up on top of it, and people who read certain stuff into it and take it to be different things. It's good that you're able to enjoy it just as a reading experience.
Well, I think, I know it's mentioned, isn't it mentioned in that movie, 6 Degrees of Separation, and they lend a lot of extra meaning to it.
And Mark Chapman was carrying a copy when he shot John Lennon, and yes. The guy who tried to assassinate Reagan was carrying a copy when he tried to assassinate Reagan. So it's one of those books that has a certain aura around
Put
it.
The gun down, Max.
Yeah. I can't hold it and drive it at the same time.
Good on you, Max.
Thanks, Max.
Thank you.
I'm quite concerned because you've got a T-shirt on that says Catcher in the Rye. What is that? How much trouble are we? You're just going to slash the tyres on my car tomorrow. Or something. Michael, look, we've got a few more callers to go to, but do you have another one that you'd like to point us in the direction of?
A couple of other great reads from in the year. One of the ones that was on lots of people's end of year list was Jonathan Franzen's Freedom. By no means an original suggestion, but I did love it. If you're a fan of The Corrections, he managed to follow what was a pretty big effort with an equally kind of... I love a big book where when you open it up and you read the first couple of sentences, you realise you're in the hands of someone who really knows how to do the business, just knows how to write a sentence and how to make you laugh, and it's not forced, and character kind of jumps off the page. And for me, Franzen does that, and Freedom's a great example
of
that.
It's good when you're in. See, I liked The Corrections, but it didn't
so
blow me away, so I don't know whether I should go there with Freedom.
I don't know if you necessarily should. Another great one from earlier in the year. If I wasn't a huge fan of the winner of the Man Booker Prize, I was a fan of one of the books on the shortlist, which was a book called Room, by Emma Donoghue. It's an extraordinary, something that's been overdone in books in the past kind of decade or so, I think, is books from the point of view of a precocious child.
Mm-hmm.
And normally that's enough to make me think, oh, you know what, I've seen it all before. This is a book from the perspective of an extraordinary child, and it is incredibly well done. And it's, I don't want to say too much, I don't want to give it away. It's a potentially grim story, but it is just beautifully executed. Room by Emma Donoghue, I can't recommend it enough.
Can I ask you this, Michael Williams? Have you read any funny books recently?
Good question.
Yes, I.
Because when a book makes you laugh out loud, that's pretty rare.
No, it is always a good thing to have a book that makes you laugh out loud. We were talking briefly off air about Ian McEwan's latest book, Solar, which is a comic novel, which I found crashingly unfunny. And there is something about being told to expect a book's going to be funny that makes it even harder, puts the pressure on. A couple of books that by local writers that I thought were particularly funny this year. Tony Wilson's second novel, a book called Making News.
Yes,
terrific.
I think we're all fans
funny.
In this row.
Yep. I've been lucky enough to work with Tony in the past, but he his second book is a satire of kind of tabloid media and sport, and it's really funny and a terrific read. Tony Jordan brought out her second book. You were talking about the difficulty of the second novel.
Absolutely.
Sam.
Second anything.
There's
show
two
I had
writers who have
Tuesday.
Managed with their second novels.
Yeah.
Tony Jordan's new book is called Fall Girl, and that's a really fun, funny, terrific read. So, no, both of those are good. I enjoyed David Sedaris' latest, which is, I'm a massive fan of his.
Well, so, as you know, so am I. That's on my shelf.
His latest is fairly atypical. He normally writes fairly personal stories, and the latest, each of the stories are kind of fables about animals. So it's definitely off...
But they're very much given human qualities, aren't they?
They're given very human qualities, and his voice is absolutely... unmistakable all the way through. So a lot of fun in that.
Let's take one more call before we play another track. Let's go to Pat in... where are you calling from, Pat?
Yeah, Barraville.
Barraville. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. Thanks. Great show. Enjoying it thoroughly.
Oh, that's very kind.
I was going to mention James Joyce Ulysses.
Pat, were you at Brunswick Baths this afternoon?
No, I wasn't.
Not an easy read, I would imagine, Pat.
I made a number of attempts in the past to get through that book without success. And then a few years ago, someone told me, sit on the veranda, read it out loud with a glass of Guinness in hand, and I'll tell you, it works. It all makes sense.
That's a good tip.
That's a magnificent tip.
Pat, do you think that would work with...
anything?
Well, it'd have to be Irish, wouldn't it? So maybe Irish whiskey.
I don't think... If you picked up John Winston Howard's Lazarus Rising and read that on the veranda with a glass of Guinness in your hand out loud, it might not sing quite as much.
No, I think perhaps a glass of vinegar might be more appropriate.
Good on you, Pat. Thanks for calling up.
Bye.
We're going to keep going with... there's lots of calls, Michael. They're very popular.
People love to read.
Really?
ABC listeners books, like to read.
Books.
It's
books. What are you thinking? The back of a shampoo bottle?
Who doesn't love a good magazine subscription? No, the last book, I'm a bit embarrassed because the last book I read was, you know, it's a little bit pop culture-ish.
Well, and you're a big fan of non-fiction, Sam, which interests me. It's most of my reading is fiction, I have to say. I love a good, strong narrative.
I hardly ever read non-fiction.
Well, see, this is where I think this comes...
I'm too busy living non-fiction.
Yeah, different to me. I'm busy watching old episodes of Miami Vice, which isn't out now, by the way. I know, I think that comes from just, you know, it probably comes from insecurity, not thinking that, you know, there's just so much that I don't know. So I feel as if I'm reading and it's non-fiction. I'm actually picking up things that you two probably already...
You want some facts.
Yeah, I want some facts because you two probably already know them.
That's hardly unlikely in my case.
You probably studied in school or whatever, you know.
But, Michael, would you say, I mean, if we were going to make an incredibly broad generalisation...
Why would we stop now?
Absolutely. Are men more likely to read non-fiction?
The accepted wisdom is that it's women who buy books. And so even the books that men read, they read because they're bought for them by the women in their life. That's accepted wisdom in the publishing world. So, for example, Father's Day is a bigger day in publishing than Mother's Day.
Really?
Because it's women buying books for their fathers, for their partners. With that in mind, it's possible that if you don't know what someone's tastes are as a reader, you do know what their interests are more broadly in life. So you might know that they're interested in sport or in politics or in military history. And so you can buy a book that pertains to that interest that goes beyond... you know, just liking a particular genre. And I think that plays a big part. It is gendered, I think, but generally men more non-fiction than women.
And that's why Max Walker is one of Australia's most prolific authors. Father's Day, what a day for books. Let's go to another track, and then I'll keep talking books with Michael Williams and Judith Lucy. This is the John Butler Trio. Are you a fan of them? Judith?
I've loved everything you've played, Sam.
Well, you can thank Al, my producer,
for that. Not as much as Jason Mraz, though.
No, he's really, you know, it's like he's here, Mraz. But this is the John Butler Trio with Better Than.
Our number is 1-300-800-222.
That is the number, and if you've got a suggestion for some summer reading, I'm here talking with Michael Williams and Judith Lucy, and... there's been some great suggestions so far. Michael, you came in and directed us to some old classics. But let's... And if you'd like to join us, 1-300-800-222, let's go to Gavin in Traralgon.
Hi, Gavin. Hello, Gavin.
Hello, Gavin.
How you doing? Yeah, I read William Gibson's Zero History and Ian M. Banks' F's Detail.
Both interesting reads.
Yeah, they're both great reads. Were you already a fan of Banks or Gibson?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, no, they're both... Ian M. Banks is one of those really interesting writers who he writes books under the name Ian Banks, which are his kind of literary novels, yeah. And then he writes his fantasy novels or sci-fi novels under the name Ian M. Banks. And that's the only kind of point of delineation. He has the kind of two identities. Do you read him in both incarnations, Gavin?
Not so much. I've read some of his non-SF, but I think the thing about it is that he's... He sort of brings his depth of characterization from, you know, your standard fiction into the SF, which makes it interesting.
Yeah, I think he's a terrific writer. It's an interesting trend, actually, this year with books. I mentioned before I'm a big reader of crime novels, and crime fiction has its respectable end that kind of engages with literary fiction, and people aren't embarrassed to be seen reading it on the tram. But science fiction and fantasy is seen much more as a kind of genre thing off on one side, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Banks is, I mean, he can write about, you know, sort of, you know, a couple of thousand years in the future when we've got a galactic civilization and, you know, there's huge spaceships wandering around with artificial intelligences, but he can kind of bring it back to the human element as well, and that sort of mixes it up. But Gibson was interesting because it's sort of, he's sort of famous for writing about the near future, but he seems to have brought it back to the sort of present, but he explores, you know, all sorts of things like Cool Hunting and, you know, dark nets and stuff that's actually around us right now. And, it's quite
interesting. I have no idea what you're talking about. What's a dark net?
Well, that's websites that you basically can only get to if you know how to get to them.
It's getting all spooky in here, Gavin.
That sounds quite exciting, Gavin.
You might be a fan, Sam, of Gibson's book Spook Country. Terrific novel.
I'll write that down. Thank you, Gavin.
No worries.
Good on you. That was Gavin from Troy. Let's go to Doug. Doug's on the Hume. Hello, Doug.
How are you?
What do you got?
Well, firstly, I wrote a book myself, and I'm looking at getting it published. But it's really, really hard to get it published at the moment. People aren't taking in new authors that haven't got any runs on the board, so to speak. But I bought the book of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and I couldn't get into it. And someone suggested that I should get the book of reading, or how to read, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Well, I couldn't even get into that.
Have you thought about sitting on the veranda and having some Guinness and reading it out loud?
Well, I thought a bit of sake, actually, but
Do you think
besides, I haven't
got a veranda.
Well, there's a project.
That's a good point.
That is, do you have a motorcycle? Because that's probably a crucial starting point there, Dirk.
No, I don't have a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's probably... I'd go the motorcycle, and then I reckon you'll be fine with the book.
That's probably where I'm falling down. I haven't got a motorbike.
Yeah. Well, Doug, good luck with it all.
Thanks for that.
Thanks,
good on
Doug.
You, Doug. We're going to go to Chris in Calcallo.
G'day. Oh, look, a great program. I'm glad you're there, Judith, because you'll be able to guide me through the valley of death about this. But look,
I like to guide, Chris.
And I'm pleased to hear you're not married.
Stay on the line after the call, Chris.
It's heating up in here, Chris.
My wife and four daughters are listening, so I don't think there's any hope.
Damn.
Look, I'm one of these unusual people that I'm... getting close to 60, Christian Brothers educated, never had to read a book. I'm a prolific scanner of every agricultural, pastoral, football magazine you ever get. I've got more facts and figures in my head than you can poke a stick at.
I am intrigued to know where this is going, Chris.
Well, I just want to know, can somebody teach someone who is like me, who I just want to be as relaxed as those people at Brunswick Pool sound, and can read a book. Like, I envy people who smoke. To me, they always look so relaxed. People who read books look so together, and I just want to be one of them.
How do you handle seeing someone reading a book who's having a cigarette at the same time, Chris?
Totally cool. Yeah.
You can get a patch with something written on it, I think.
My wife, all my daughters are prolific readers, but I just, they give me a book and I kind of get in the first three pages, I think, oh, shit. You know, I really need to be able to tie me down to a chair and make me read, because I just need to do it.
Chris,
have you thought about, sorry, Michael, I was going to suggest Valium.
I'm sorry?
Just take some Valium, Chris, before you just, you know, open that classic.
I knew you'd come up with an answer.
Yeah, there you go.
Chris, what was the last film you really enjoyed?
Oh, jeez, what did I see? My memory, I just went to see something at the West Garth, which is...
give us a clue.
Oh, give us a clue.
Actors, plot.
I saw Angelina Jolie in that...
Salt!
The Tourist.
Oh, The Tourist.
Now, I see where you're going. You're going to recommend that perhaps Chris should go and read The Tourist?
I was going to say, go for something along those lines. Get yourself a good thriller to sink your teeth into.
I've really enjoyed that Swedish, the guy who's got the girl with the tattoo. And
Stieg Larsson.
Stieg Larsson. Well,
yeah,
then.
I mean, I enjoy that. I mean, to me, that sort of calibre of film's probably my go, but I envy people who can just sit down and, like my wife can, well, pick up.
Chris, if it's any consolation, you sound very relaxed, so maybe you don't need a book.
Well, I'm hoping somebody can tell me that.
Chris, you leave it with us, Chris. We'll sort it out.
I think you've taken your own chill pill, Chris. Don't let anyone tell you have to read.
I think a wife and four daughters that sounds
relaxing.
He's busy
with the agricultural magazine.
Let's go to...
Come on, please.
Annette, yes, it's you.
Hello.
Hello, Annette. You're in Forestville?
Yeah, I live in Forestville. I'm sitting in a car in Chatswood at the moment.
And are you a librarian?
I am a librarian, so I read a lot of books. And I've read about four or five of the last week.
Oh, now you're showing off.
Well, I'm on school holidays. I'm a school librarian.
It's a magical time.
Yeah, so I read one called Hey Need to Leave Them Kids Alone, written by one of your ABC people, fellow at Triple J.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember his name. Anyway.
It's one big family here. I can't believe we don't know the answer to that.
You're just a fill-in. You don't know.
I'll be gone in a week. I don't know any. We'll find that out, Annette. Don't worry.
Anyway, that's a really good one. So it's about how the Goths and My Chemical Romance, all that, springs from the Romantic movement, which came out of the late 18th century. And it's very interesting. It's really well written.
Annette, do you read a lot of non-fiction?
I do, yeah. I just finished one today called The Moneyless Man, about a fellow lived in England for a whole year without any cash whatsoever.
All right, Anne. Well, hopefully everyone is writing these down. We've got a few callers on the line, so we'll keep going.
Can I just say, just the way my career is headed, any tips from The Moneyless Man?
Oh, look, he just believes that if you give, you get back. You know, it's like karma.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, and he gets all his food from skips and foraging and from the forest, and he just lived for a whole year without cash.
The hill dropped away very quickly.
You fell away. You just lost us there, Annette, but that's fine.
Admittedly, the word forage, that was when I turned around.
Good on you, Annette.
Thank you.
Leonie's in Wollongong. Hello, Leonie.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Have you got a summer read for us?
Yes, I actually just got this book for Christmas. It's Undercover, A Novel of Life by Keith Wolfen. It's basically about an ex-Australian criminal who went to jail for fraud within banking, and then he was actually taken by an American fraud company to bring down some of the Mexican drug cartels. And it's basically really interesting. I like true crime, and it has to be one of the best books. I'm recommending it to everyone. All the bookstores seem to be selling out of them, so I was lucky to get it.
Big thumbs up.
Yeah. I love an unstinting recommendation.
Yes, everyone has to read it. It's so interesting, and it's quite gruesome at times, but it's definitely an eye-opener, and I don't think I'm going to Mexico anytime soon.
No, stay where you are, Leonie, and keep reading.
That's the good thing. Travel broadens the horizons. Reading closes it, brings it in. Nice and close.
There's a few more callers before the news. We're going to try to get to you. Let's go to Maddie in Ralston. Hello, hey. Maddie. Hello, Maddie.
Hi.
How are you going?
Good, thanks.
You got a
What's
summer?
Your recommendation, Maddie?
The Tomorrow series by John Marsden.
Oh, they're terrific. Yeah. And have you read them all, Maddie?
I'm up to the fifth one.
Excellent. Now,
How
was
many
it the film
there?
That got
sorry,
you?
Michael.
No, sorry, Judith. Was it the film that put you onto these books?
No, my brother read it when he was in year 7, and I read it after him. And once I got to year 8, we did it as a study this year, or last year, so I decided to finish the series.
Are there just heaps of them?
I think there's 6.
And then after the Tomorrow series ends, the main character, Ellie,
Ellie
is the head of her own series. So it does
continue on.
The next
week, people?
Yeah, the day after tomorrow when the war had already begun.
Yeah.
As it's otherwise known.
I'm over here just quietly writing all these down, you know. This is going to be a big reading year for me, 2011.
Well, that's just a lie. No, you're not.
Thank you, Maddie.
Thanks.
Let's go to, who we got? We've got Warren in Nowra.
Yeah, g'day, champ. How are you?
Very well.
Yeah, mate, Darwin and the Beagle. Red Light Australian, Alan Moorhead.
Yeah?
I always thought that, you know, like he just sat on the boat and didn't do a great deal a lot. But that's not really true.
And how good a writer is Moorhead, Warren? Isn't he great?
This historical, well, he's dead now, but I mean, this historical novel he wrote is absolutely phenomenal. It really is. If you want to read a good book and understand what the conclusions that Darwin came to, and it goes on, his life after the Beagle, and, you know, he had 10 kids. And
he was perfecting evolution there, I think.
Yeah,
if I'm
well, right. Dead right. Perfecting it, yes. But, no, I mean, he was a far brilliant man, far more brilliant man than a lot of people really understand.
Oh, well, that's a good tip. An Australian classic is often forgotten.
We'll add it to the list, Warren. We're going to quickly go to May in Springwood just before the news. Hello, May.
Hi, how are you going?
Very well. Have you got a suggestion for us?
Oh, yeah. I've just finished Geraldine Brooks's Year of Wonders. It was just amazing. It took me on a trip that was just unbelievable. It was very sad, but the writer, it's written in a woman's voice, and she was just amazing. The strength of character was just unbelievable.
It is a terrific read. May, have you read any of Geraldine Brooks's others?
I read the story of the book, and I've got much set aside, and I've just gone online to Springwood Library, and I've ordered Foreign Correspondent and the one on the Iraqian novel that she did, which are both non-fiction.
Oh, May, clearly Geraldine Brooks has a committed fan now.
I just finished it a couple of mornings ago, and my daughter rang me, and she said to me, Mum, where are you? And I said, I've just finished the book. And she said, Mum, you're in a place that I can't be. Just enjoy it.
Mm. Did she give it to you?
No.
Did someone recommend it?
I handed it on already.
But how did you get onto it, mate?
It's a very emotional book. Extremely emotional. Now, I must say, Cloud Street second reading, extraordinary.
Good
to hear.
Good tip, May. Brave it.
May, thank you for calling. You've lifted the spirits of everyone in this studio because you're giving a book that goes well on the second read.
Yep. The Year of Wonders is about the plague, though, Sam, so probably don't get too cheerful over there. Just down.
Right. Thank you, Michael Williams. We might finish talking books there, but we'll get you to stick around for the next hour. Judith, you're staying as well.
Try and get rid of me.
But that was, hopefully you got all those suggestions and for some summer reading, because who doesn't like a good book in summer, especially on a porch with a Guinness, apparently.
Exactly. And a yak.
Judith Lucy, Michael Williams, and I'm Sam Pang. We'll be taking you through to the next hour, talking all things. We are trying to find John Harms. He's missing in action, and we'd love to talk to him just to get him to wrap up the cricket. So if you've seen Harmsy somewhere, tell him to give us a call. But coming up to the news, we'll be back after that.
Summer with Sam Pang on ABC Local Radio.
Final hour of the show coming up.
I love your music.
This little music here.
It's like we're in a fun bus.
I like it when it plays the full version, not just a little sting, where you get to hear the whole lot.
I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't probably talk before the music's finished, if you two are any indication of how much people are loving that little music.
Well, people at home might be pressing record and play at the same time and just want to get the music, and now your dulcet tones have cut in.
If you are doing that. Every time I'm about to pull out my tambourine, you rain on my parade.
Little tip, if you are taping it at home, press pause still as well and then bring it up gently. It just makes for a smoother recording.
Wow.
Hey, Michael Williams is here for the next hour as well. And Judith Lucy, thank you so much for staying with us. Finished talking.
Do we have any choice?
Not really. We have. I've locked you in. We finished talking books, but thank you to everyone who contributed to some great summer reads, especially you, Michael.
Well, it's,
you're not finished,
it's
though,
a long list. Yeah. It's a long list. My day job that I've been on holidays from is running the programming for, as you mentioned earlier, a centre here in Melbourne, which is devoted to public events about books. I'm sorry, everyone else in the country who isn't in Melbourne for that, although all the events are recorded and put on the website for free, so you can, you know, watch those.
It's all right. What's the name of the centre? You're allowed to do that, aren't you?
Wheelercentre.com.
Yeah.
There you go. It's all there. But so I have a weird thing where it's hard to switch off reading for work and thinking about, oh, well, is this a person who would be good to do an event, and reading for pleasure. So the summer reading list is a tricky one for me to put together. But one thing that I knew when I was asked by my mum, inevitably, what book would you like for Christmas? And I gave her a little list. And the new John le Carré I mentioned. Sight unseen, didn't know what the book was, hadn't read a blurb, hadn't read any reviews. But I saw there's a new le Carré out, and so I was confident saying to mum, yeah, get me the new John le Carré.
Based on what?
Based on track record. And it's kind of it's a complex relationship, that one, because le Carré, Spy Who Came In for Nicole.
He's not aware of it.
Well, that's right. it's one of the best kinds of complex relationships. He would tell you that we're very close. And Spy Who Came In for Nicole was back in 1963, and he's written some of the most rightly celebrated books in the
Tinker
kind of
Tinker Tailor
genre.
Soldier Spy?
Yeah, well, it's a Little Drummer Girl. The Russia House? No, that was not a good one. And
the Sean Connery movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the thing with le Carré. His George Smiley books, I think, are rightly celebrated. He's written some of the most extraordinary spy novels of the Cold War. But he's also written about a book every 2 years over several decades.
So how
give
many?
Or take. A lot would be the technical answer that I think you're looking for. A lot. And they're not all great.
Mm.
But there's something about le Carré, for me, where the track record's good enough. And, in fact, last year's, or 2008's, A Most Wanted Man was one of his best books in about 20 years, I would say. It was an absolute cracker.
So you were rewarded for staying with him, though, it would seem.
I was, but I would argue that there are certain artists, not just writers of books, artists across all different art forms, who have a lifetime pass. Who, you know, they've done enough good things well that you're prepared to trust them and stay with them. You'll go out and buy that new Bob Dylan album. You'll go and see the new Coen Brothers film. They may have done some duds, but they've bought your perpetual forgiveness.
But Judith, also, do you have one? Do you have any?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are people I keep going back time and again, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I'll still buy a Van Morrison record quite often.
Even knowing many of them are bad.
Yeah, but there are, you know... Similarly, though, there are some people you want to ring them up and you want to say, you know what? Give it away. Mm. You've had your moment.
Blotted the copybook?
Absolutely. And I think we can certainly talk about actors when we talk about people who really just should have... Harrison Ford, goodbye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you
haven't seen his latest work, Morning Glory?
I was an enormous Harrison Ford fan, but just did we need the last Indiana Jones film?
No, we didn't.
Maybe not.
Do you necessarily blame Harrison Ford for that, though?
No one held a gun to his head.
Well, you don't know that for sure. But no, it's an interesting point, because Ford, I reckon, has enough great roles in his resume. You know, there's Blade Runner, there's Witness, there's Han Solo, there's Indiana Jones. Surely there comes a point where you forgive him a few Hollywood homicides.
Yeah, but there have been so many. It's just, you know, for me, and this is a heartbreaking one, Steve Martin, stop being in movies.
Steve Martin's
Please.
Done for you.
And I am a massive Steve Martin fan, but really, I don't think he's been in a good film since Parenthood.
Can I ask you this, though? You're a big fan of Steve Martin. Mm-hmm. Will you continue to support him in terms of his endeavours? If he came out with a movie, would you go and see it?
I see them all. I still go and see Woody Allen movies. And so often I think, why, oh, why did I waste my time on that one?
Sam, you strike me as a singularly unforgiving person. Is there anyone for whom there's nothing unforgivable, who you'd always go back to?
Well, listeners to this show, and especially you two, would know that I have mentioned Burt Reynolds every hour of the whole week. But
of your life.
Yeah, but because of his early stuff, I will be staying with him till the end. Now, one of his most recent movies was called The Amateurs, where he was mistakenly booked to star in in some Shakespeare, some play.
Isn't Tilda Swinton in that film as well?
She may be. I was really
concerned. Sam only had eyes for Burt.
I really did only have
Burt
eyes
for Reynolds
Burt.
And Tilda Swinton, anyway.
Yeah, and
together
and
at last.
So he was a big. He actually played a character of an aging movie star. It was a big stretch, and he wanted to get back to his roots and do some theatre. So he got booked to do some theatre in London, some Shakespeare. But it was actually with an amateur theatre company.
Was it as bad as it sounds?
No, it was. It was, yes,
I'm
it was.
I'm imagining hilarity ensued.
No, it was pretty bad, but it doesn't matter. With Burt's got a new movie out, I will go and see it. So what we're asking for is that if you've got any suggestions about just people in any field that because of, you know, their past glories, you will stay with till the end.
Or anyone you've said that's enough. Like, I used to see every single thing Robert De Niro was in.
Which of the Fokker movies was it that broke your spirit once
and for
all?
Do you know, it actually started to turn around for me with We're No Angels, with he and Sean Penn.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Two of the finest actors ever to grace this earth, but wow, bad call. But yeah, exactly, but those Fokker films, for the love of God, stop.
So what's the breaking point? Where's the moment where you go, I will not buy the new book by that person, I will not go and see their film, I will not listen to their album?
I'll throw another one up that I've jumped off. Burt, I'm staying with M. Night Shyamalan, who directed and wrote The Sixth Sense. He's done for me.
How many films did you trust him for after The Sixth Sense?
I saw Unbreakable, I saw Signs.
Did you see The Village?
No. That
wow,
is where
I did.
It's where he lost me, and you know, who is still staying with M. Night Shyamalan with the last year's The Last Airbender? You know, is that if you did stay with him, you haven't been rewarded. So,
know who I stayed with, even though I just despised movie after movie after movie. It still took me about five or six before I went, just stop trying, and that was Peter Greenaway.
Yeah, no, I didn't have your stamina.
I don't know why I tried so hard. The only thing I tried harder to do was start smoking. Smoking eventually took, but Peter Greenaway didn't.
The pillow book, not sitting at home in your DVD collection.
No.
Who are you, a question to everyone listening around Australia, who are you going to stay with and or who have you given up on? We'd love to hear from you. 1-300-800-222. Judith Lucy, Michael Williams, and myself would love to hear who you were staying with. I'm staying with Burt Reynolds till the end.
The Coen brothers can make The Lady Killers. They can make some of their lesser films, and I will always go back and stay with the Coen brothers.
The good ones still outweigh the bad ones.
Well, they've bought a career pass for me. I will trust them every time.
I'll be there to see True Grit, and nothing will keep
me
away.
You.
Scarlett Johansson, give it away.
Wow, you hopped off very early. Who are you staying with? Who are you giving up on? 1-300-800-222.
Al Pacino, see you later.
Overrated.
Oh, look out. Here's Talking Heads with Road to Nowhere.
Summer with Sam Payne on ABC Local Radio.
And I'm talking to Judith Lucy and Michael Williams, and we were talking about artists, authors, actors, anyone that that we're staying with till the bitter end.
Or we're not.
And, of course, Michael, you're staying with John Le Carré.
You know what? He's paid off enough times that I'll ride out some of the slightly dud ones.
Cannonball Run means that I stay with Burt Reynolds forever. And, Judith, you've hopped off the Harrison Ford bandwagon.
Yeah. I mean... Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
What would it take for him to win you back?
A good movie.
Morning Glory. Out now.
You know, I mean, so, this is the thing. If someone said to me, it's, you know, Harrison Ford has made a great film, I would go and see it. But you see, but yes, I've stuck with Steve Martin despite the fact that I want to just generally shoot my own face off after seeing almost everything he's been in.
Steve Martin.
And similarly, Woody Allen, I keep going to see his movies even though I question that decision.
Let's hope Mosquito Coast 2 is coming out soon.
Ooh.
Let's go to Maggie.
So.
Hello, Maggie.
How are you? You've got a great show there. We always enjoy listening when we're driving. We do a lot of that.
Thank you, Maggie.
Yes.
Now, what have you, is there someone you're staying with or someone you've given up on?
Oh, no, definitely staying with Pierce Brosnan. There has not been a movie I have not enjoyed watching him. And my husband's with Meg Ryan and we've both agreed if both of them turned up to the door and they parked their slippers under our beds, we wouldn't mind.
What a kooky foursome that would be. Can I ask for you, Maggie, can I ask which Pierce Brosnan film got you in?
The one with the two little kids and his wife left and the little girl was in the court. That one. That was it. But 007, you name it. That man is hot.
Yeah. No, I will name it. The Thomas Crown Affair remake. You're staying with him through that?
Through the what?
The Thomas Crown Affair.
Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah.
I've missed one.
Check that one out. That may break your spirit on Pierce.
Oh, there. Will it? Oh, is it? Okay.
But check out the Steve McQueen version. And can I say, do you know what it is about Meg Ryan that your husband appreciates? Because she's had so much surgery now. She looks like a duck.
He likes her fun. He likes her quippiness, and she just has a really fresh face, and she's just got a cheeky hairdo every so often. He just thinks she's a beaver.
When will a man tell me I've got a cheeky hairdo?
Maggie, I can see how your hubby may have got on the Meg Ryan bandwagon for When Harry Met Sally, but I would have thought around the time of French Kiss and IQ, that would have been the time to hop off.
You bet you were still good with Russell Crowe. We still enjoyed that movie.
Oh, Proof of Life, wow.
Yes, but we haven't sort of seen her around a lot lately. So
well, you wouldn't recognise her. That's my point, Maggie.
Maggie,
you probably fed her some bread at a pool thinking it was a duck.
Anyway, Maggie, you might want to pass on Judith's comments to your hubby and see if he can defend her. Thank you very much for calling.
All right. Thanks for your program again. As I said, we travel all around Australia because we're retired and we love listening in. I'd rather listen to you guys than watch any kind of idiot box any day.
Well, good on you, Maggie.
Good on you, Maggie. There. Thank you very much. As a thank you,
thank
I cut her off
goodbye.
Because I don't know what I'm doing over here. Let's go to John in Essendon. John,
hi, guys.
Hello, John in Essendon.
Yeah, hi there. I'm enjoying your show very much.
Thank you very much. Is there someone you're staying with or giving up?
Someone I'm staying with I really enjoy reading is Frederick Forsyth's books.
Have you read all of his books, do you reckon?
Pretty close. I went back to reading, you know, late last year, or early last year, sorry, and I decided I'd go through all his books. So.
And John...
Yep.
Sorry, John, do you reckon some of them are more disappointing than others, but you just don't care straight on through?
I honestly can't recall one that I haven't enjoyed. There's some I've enjoyed more than others, obviously. But
when did you read your first one, John?
Probably 35 or 40 years ago, I guess.
See, you've chosen... that's a good horse to hitch your wagon to as well, because he writes them fairly regularly, so there's always... you can always go back for more Forsyth.
Yeah. Well, that's true, and I hate to disappoint you guys, but I've reread a few of them as well.
Good. No, I like to hear that. That's what I like to hear, John.
Good on you, John.
Thank you.
That's John. He's sticking with Frederick Forsyth. Let's go to Amanda in Melbourne. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
Are you, who are you staying with, or who have you given up on?
I'm staying with Keanu Reeves forever and ever and ever.
Now, see, Amanda, I'm afraid I'm going to have to beg to differ. Because, in my opinion, Keanu Reeves should have given it away after Parenthood. For me, when he stopped being able to say the word dude convincingly, as he was able to do in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Parenthood, he just lost it for me. I never took him seriously again.
Oh, no. No, what about Something's Gotta Give? What about Dracula? What about The Private Lives of Super League?
You're digging your own grave there.
Oh, Amanda, really, that's fantastic.
You're really confirming my decision, Amanda.
Amanda, do you think he has range? A couple of those ones you named, his more recent, more art house here efforts. Do you reward him when he does that, or do you just want classic Keanu?
No. I'm finding it hard to convince anyone other than myself that he has range, but I believe he has range.
I would have thought if you picked up, and on the three Matrix movies especially, the many subtle, different broods that he performed in those three movies.
I'm just going to say two words, and they are Johnny Mnemonic. Have you sat through that, Amanda?
I have. There's not a film of his I haven't seen.
What about The Summer House with Sandra Bullock?
Yes, I've seen it.
See, Amanda, it's you've won this set six love in here. They're throwing Keanu Reeves movies at you, and you're just giving them the thumbs up.
I am.
Because you want to have sex with him?
Maybe have a look at The Devil's Own if you really want to test yourself.
The Devil's Advocate?
The Devil's Advocate.
Another favourite, Al Pacino. That's a lose-lose.
It's so nice to talk to a true believer, Amanda.
Good.
Thanks, Amanda.
Bye.
We are talking about artists of any genre that you're staying with till the end or are given up on. A couple of text messages. Jono from Newcastle, Tom Hanks till the day he dies.
Oh, there you go, a bit of Hanks loyalty. Hanks is directing only his second film as director at the moment, actually, reuniting with Julia Roberts for it.
What was the first film?
The first film was a film called That Thing You Do, about a 60s band.
Yes.
That he had a small producer role as a music producer.
Inspired the Jersey Boys?
It may have. It certainly looks like it has exactly the same plot as the Jersey Boys.
Right.
See, Tom Hanks, I'd love to have a beer with. I think he and Ron Howard, you just know they're good people. But you know.
Well, Hanks is almost one, but it's just because of Bachelor Party. He won me then.
He won me at Bosom Buddies, the television show.
We've got one here that says, "Have given up on anything involving Will Smith. Enjoyed him in the late 80s and as a recording artist with Prince
of
Bel-Air. But can't stand the sight and sound of him anymore. I think The Wild Wild West was a bad one.
I thought the movie didn't break me there, but the accompanying song was the reason I gave up on Will Smith.
Let's go to Paul in Sydney. Hello, Paul.
Oh, hi, how's it going?
Very well.
Keanu Reeves, yeah, it's been said he covers the full gamut of emotion from A right through to B.
Spot
That's
on.
That's true. Mm. Oh, Keanu.
Didn't he play the wooden stake in Dracula?
This guy's got a million of them.
I thought he was very poor in Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula.
He was the low point in otherwise great movie, I thought.
That is a good point. That's a bad performance in not a bad film. Because Gary Oldman,
film, but yeah. He was just so unbelievably wooden.
Gary Oldman was in that, and
Gary Oldman's wig was in that.
And Winona Ryder, and actually Anthony Hopkins, he probably. He got a bit big on him, that role, too, as well, actually.
Yeah, he's a little hit and miss.
But, Paul, is there someone you're giving up on or staying with?
I haven't given up. I've stayed faithful through many, many years and many good and bad albums. Deep Purple.
Interesting, Paul. How old were you when you got into Deep Purple?
I was 12 years old.
Can I ask how old you are now?
I turned 50 this last year.
Let it go. Let it go.
And I tell you what, the first album I bought was Deep Purple in Rock, and I think that hearing Ian Gillan screaming Child in Time caused me to reach puberty overnight.
But now is it Deep Purple in bed?
No, look, they're still
rocking it.
Believe it or not, they're still sort of selling out shows like right through Europe. They've actually got a big audience of sort of teenage to early 20s people. Like, you know, it's more than half the audience in Europe now are young people.
Can the new albums induce puberty in you still? Do you find yourself going through the motions all over again?
Look, it doesn't have the same raw effect that it had as a sort of teenager who'd never heard this sort of music before. But
and before they'd had hip replacements.
That's right. but they, you know, as I guess what I like about their music now is what I've always liked about them. It's passionate. It's complex yet melodic, and you know, they're just the most incredible musicians. And I actually met them. I've met them a couple of times, and they're also, you know, incredibly humble, you know, nice blokes and you know, very sort of supportive of their fans, and they're still making good music, believe it or not.
You're a wow. true fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think a tribute band called Deep Purple, with you as lead singer, might do very well.
We've done one or two Deep Purple songs in my band.
I thought so. I had a sneaking suspicion there, Paul.
Good on you. Good on you, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
That's Paul from Sydney. I hope his loyalty is rewarded with perhaps a best of Deep Purple. That might be nice. Let's go to Susan in Geelong. No, we won't. Oh, we won't go. Not. We won't go to Susan. Let's go to Michael in Sale. Hello,
I'm
Michael.
Still here.
Michael, is it Michael?
I'm still here.
Oh, Susan.
Sorry, that sounds like Susan. Here. Susan. Susan, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Susan.
Oh, hi.
You're talking to
Susan. You're all right.
I heard you say that no, you weren't. I wasn't here, but I really was here.
You know, if I had hung up and you screaming down the phone, I like your optimism that was going to help. But you're on the line, Susan.
Okay.
Is there someone that you've given up on or staying with?
20 years ago, Cher.
Oh.
What is with that belly button being taller than her collarbone?
Oh, sorry, you've given up on her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, time. That gets my full support. You know, I made the mistake of going to see her. Well, I used the word live very loosely. wow, there is a face that, I mean, I was talking about, you know, Burt Reynolds surgery, but that woman's face is just, I've seen more animated fridges.
I know, but she's been dragged out in this burlesque movie. I mean, I don't understand where she's come from.
Well, yeah, that is a bit unfortunate, Susan.
Can I defend her and say
if she could turn back time?
That's it. I thought, Susan, that she was absolutely delightful in Tea with Mussolini.
Oh, didn't catch that one.
Well, if
you missed nothing.
It may be the one that gets you back.
Her opposite Maggie Smith.
Yep, maybe.
Okay. I doubt that. But was
Maggie
there
Smith
a particular
was
moment
there.
That she lost you? Or has it been just a slow
it's
kind of letting go?
This burlesque thing that she's in now.
Mm. Oh, so you stayed with her until this latest movie?
Well, I haven't really thought about it very much. But having just seen her, you know, advertised on the, you know, TV recently, I just think, oh, my God, what is she doing
it's not gonna
in
be,
movies?
It's not going to be the one that gets you back, is it,
yeah.
Susan?
Mm. No, don't go and see that in 3D either, the belly button.
No,
very upsetting.
Good on you, Susan. Okay. I'm glad that we got you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Susan.
Although I won't have a bad word said against gypsies, tramps and thieves.
As a class?
As a magnificent song.
Let's not get political, Judith. Meryl Streep, I'll eat glass and swig hydrochloric acid before I waste one more second of my life on her. That's,
oh, gee, that's
that seems harsh. What has she done wrong?
That's him from the SMS. I don't know. Maybe they saw Mamma Mia. That's enough to slow
that
anyone down.
That is truly vile.
Oh, we didn't put that up against Pierce Brosnan.
No, you're
there's
quite
a missed
correct.
Opportunity.
Gary Footscray, he's given up on Russell Crowe. Every character is now tainted with his bemused smirk.
Robin Hood.
You know, I'm almost there, actually. I think I've pretty much given up on Go, Russ, Go.
Do you know Robin Hood? Did you say Robin Hood?
No.
Do you know that he... Now, this is true. Do you know, in the original concept of that movie, he was scheduled to play both Robin and the baddie.
The Sheriff of Nottingham.
He was going to play both.
Multiple personality. Yeah.
And Marion.
That does seem contrived.
It would have made it just like, you know, Michael Keaton's Multiplicity.
I don't want to be unkind, but he would have been better cast as Friar Tuck than Robin Hood, I would have thought.
Wow. Peter from St Albans. Anything with John Malkovich or Christopher Walken forever and ever. Now, that is a good one. Those two, I think, have lifetime passes, Judith.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah. I'm a very big fan of both of them.
Malkovich and Walken. Well, Walken, you'll even watch in a film clip. A fat boy slim film clip with his dancing.
You know what? Walken's never been one of mine.
Really?
I think he's fine, but I think he's a bit... He's playing a version of himself. He's just shtick.
Wow.
Have you seen him in Pennies from Heaven with Steve Martin?
Yes.
Isn't that a good
that
performance?
That is great. No, and that should buy him a lifetime pass. That's a good point.
Glenda from Stahl says, Alex Miller, Alex Miller and Alex Miller. I think I'm in love at 62.
Oh, it's nice to be in love with an author. There's very few more singular delights. It's like Judith and Peter Temple. Don't change the time on your watch while reading Alex Miller.
And the last one I think we can all agree on. Not actually. Matt on the tractor says, "What happened to Eddie Murphy? He's dead to me now." Eddie Murphy is just as we finish this chat, is a good example of, because of a 48 Hours, because of Beverly Hills Cop, he may have a lifetime pass for me.
Because of Norbert, because of Norbert.
I tell you what, if there was one that was going to I was going to give up on Eddie Murphy, Norbert was the one.
Pluto Nash.
Norbert, Academy Award nominated.
I have to go. Not one of mine. I've hardly seen Eddie, any of Eddie's work, I'm afraid.
Well, you can't. You're not in a position to
judge. No, I'm not. So I won't.
A Murphy marathon. Look out.
It's a very bad sign when doing the voice of a donkey in a children's film is the best thing you've done in a quarter of a century.
That's right. Yeah, he has done the trick. Thank you to everyone who called. It was great to have the calls. And Michael Williams, Judith Lucy, sticking around. We are now going to John Harms. We've found him. We're gonna quickly have a chat to him after this song by Blondie, Heart of Glass.
Summer with Sam Payne.
Yes, and I'm here with Judith Lucy and Michael Williams. Right up till the news, a sad day today. Actually, well, some people would consider it a happy day because it was the end of a long and torturous test series. We thought, who better to talk to than John Harms? Hello, John.
How are you?
Ah, there you are. Sorry. See, this is what happens when I'm left in charge. John Harms. Michael Williams and Judith Lucy, you are also with me. Thanks for... sorry, we couldn't get you early on.
That's all right. I got a call from a listener saying I was being looked for. Now, that's how good the ABC is.
It's but a Teresa, family.
Can I describe the scene at Port Ferry? You know, in golf, they describe conditions as benign when there's no breeze and everyone's having a great score. And insofar as water is concerned, if it's absolutely flat, it's a mill pond. I have never seen the Southern Ocean such a mill pond. It is absolutely magnificent. It is absolutely flat here.
And you're standing looking wistfully out to sea, John?
I am, and occasionally, Michael, glancing over my right shoulder to about point, where if you look at the moon, I don't know if you guys have looked at tonight, see the moon. It looks like if you had cut your toenails tonight, it sort of looks a bit like the cutting of the third toenail. It is just a little slither. It is absolutely magnificent.
I forgot what a poet you are, John. I forgot. Now
I can go on.
Well, I might bring you back, and just because the three of us, basically, we're talking about things that we'd given up on earlier. I gave up on the cricket about halfway through day one of the first test. Did I do the right thing in hopping off?
Halfway through the first day, Australia had them at 4 for 180, and they looked pedestrian, Australia, but both teams looked pedestrian. Then Peter Siddle took a hat-trick. I was there that day in Brisbane with a few mates. And so Australia were on top that first day, and then so you could have hung on a little bit more, a little bit longer, Sam.
An aberration, John. It was a disgrace.
Yeah, but then we couldn't get them out in the second innings, and then in Adelaide they made over 601 by an innings. So I think you deserve to jump off. It was fair enough to jump off somewhere during the Adelaide test. But I love it moments like this when we start to question the national type. You know, it's just such hand-wringing in the pubs of Port Ferry, on the beaches of Port Ferry, everywhere in Port Ferry, let alone the rest of the world. People are going, what is Australian male?
Oh, so it's not just what's wrong with Australian cricketers, it's the entire masculinity of Australia.
It's a question I've been asking for years, John.
Rightfully so. Absolutely right. But I'm not sure that's the right question.
No.
Because I think, we used to really get upset about what was going on in Eastern Europe in the 70s. We used to say, they put them in the army, they put them in the army, they find them when they're 12, they put them in the army, they make them gymnasts, they make them swimmers, they make them eat funny coloured this and that. Well, we call that the AIS in Australia now. I mean, we do exactly the same thing. I think we've got to go back to just picking them off the farm, picking them out of the mine, picking them out of the tax office, you know, wherever they are, and letting them play like they play.
As I listen to you, John, I'm very happy that we called you this late in the evening. I thought after dinner I'd get some different theories from you. I hear what you're saying, but because there is a train of thought to suggest that the current, the way, the itinerary of the current national team kind of means that players aren't playing, you know, Sheffield Shield cricket. I don't know if it's still called Sheffield Shield cricket. They're not playing Sheffield Shield cricket, so, and they're not playing grey cricket, so, because they're just touring around playing. It's not the ideal form.
Well, we have this talent identification scheme, and it goes across all sports. And in cricket, we get them when they're 14 and 16, and we put them on what are called pathways. And we put them into the system. And we take these kids who've got fantastic natural ability and we go, yes, we're very good at recognising what great natural ability you've got, but now forget all that and we'll teach you how to play cricket. We'll teach you to pick up the bat the same way. We'll teach you to hold the ball the same way. I mean, Doug Walters 3G never went through the system. He came out of a dairy farm from Dungog.
He went through a system, but it wasn't the one, not the traditional one, John.
Well, it's went not from, a new one.
You went from pub to pub to pub and then then onto the SCG.
3G, I had cause to ring Doug Walters not so long ago to invite him to a lunch at the University of Melbourne. And he was one of those correspondents that when you ring him, it sort of half listens to what you're saying. Reason, because you can hear the pages of the form guide being turned. This one, and there's another one. Yes, mate, that'll be fine, mate. Yeah, just give me a cab and the airfare will be fine. Yeah, that'll be great.
Harmsy, you're not a parochial cricket fan, though. You love the game. You love it well played. Was there anything in this particular season of cricket that was worth watching?
Yes, I am, Michael. That's well observed. That's exactly what I love about sport generally, let alone cricket. But I think you'd have to say that a guy who scores nearly seven, I think he got nearly 700 runs, Alistair Cook, because just the Australians, when you look upon that historically, that's a pretty fair effort, even though he's not the most brilliant, flashy-looking batsman to enjoy. But, you got to look at that. You got to look at Graham Swan bowling over after over. You got to look at Lurch Tremel. Has there ever been a cricketer who looks more like Lurch, just absolutely cruising in and belting it into the turf? Yeah, look, the Poms were just terrific. They were consistent across their side. They moved the ball around. They batted well. They made the Australian bowlers look ordinary. They played with confidence. So I think they did it with grace. So and joy. And you've got to love that in sports people. So I'd say the way the Poms went about it was terrific, and they just absolutely flogged us.
And we're speaking to John Harms, of course, writer, broadcaster. You'd know him well from his time on ABC Radio, but also from The Offsiders on a Sunday, hosted by Barry Cassidy, Judith. And the cricket, of course, finished rather poorly. But now it's time for Judith Lucy's question to John Harms.
Do you think this is a good line, John Harms? Because it is annoying to lose to the English team, and this happened many years ago. I can't remember what year it was, but Greg Fleet, the comedian, happened to be in England when it happened, and basically every English person he met would walk up to him and say, "How does it feel to lose the Ashes? How does it feel to lose the Ashes?" And his reply would be, "I don't know. How does it feel to lose an empire?" And that would put them in their place.
Well, that's getting into the territory of the Barmy Army. The thing about the Barmy Army, when they're getting flogged, they love it, because there's a lot of self-loathing in the English, particularly the young English, and there's a lot of triumphalism in the English as well. So they would ironically sing "You're fat, you're round, $3 to the pound, England," this year, even though 12 years ago they were singing "You're fat, you're round, $3 to the pound," because that was like in 1998, 99. Look, the Barmy Army have been terrific. They've got lots of comebacks. They sing "God Save Your Gracious Queen," as Jim Maxwell keeps pointing out. I think every day they sing it, he points it out. One of them does, maybe karaoke. But, the Australians... Well, the crowd, they've never got the same comebacks as the Barmy Army, so I imagine his nickname was Sounder, Greg. Greg Sleet was known as Sounder, like Peter Sleet was. No?
No, it was Fleet, John.
Oh, Fleet.
Yes.
Oh,
well-known... Well, he's in the comedy world, John.
The two worlds never collide, comedy and sport, unless it's the footy show.
Hey, just a nice half volley outside up stump for you, John. Where to now for the Australian cricket team? Because I know that the media will get two or three days of very solid, you know, sack Ponting, sack everyone. Just, you know, but it's not really that bad.
Well, it's just a game of cricket, isn't it?
That's right. Thank you.
That's the thing. We pontificate about it, but it's fun to pontificate about.
No, it is.
It's fun to play with it. And, you know, 3G, you watch it. You keep your eye on it.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the other night, of course, the best thing about watching the cricket is when we go to a rain delay and they play an old classic from the 80s.
Or even the 70s. I do like Channel 9's policy of using F-Troop. In
it, right. Yeah, you don't even watch old games. You don't even want old games as a fill-in. You're happy with old TV series.
Well, this is, I didn't realise that Thurston Howell from Gilligan's Island was such a good golfer. Have you seen his swing?
He's
outstanding.
Someone should go through it, the mechanics of his swing.
And I didn't know that Lovey Howell could hold a tune the way that she could.
Politics. So alive on Gilligan's Island.
John Harms, where are you're standing in a spot
black
that
spot.
We're just cutting in and out a bit, but it's so good for you. Thanks so much for coming on.
That's all right.
You don't have actually far to go back to get home, do you?
Well, I've been wandering as I've been speaking to you, and I don't know the layout of Port Ferry. So, but
follow.
Can I just ask a bit of a social service here? Their teddy in the park yesterday.
Sorry, you'll have to say that again, John.
The Harms family lost their teddy in the park yesterday.
Ooh.
And then this Theo hasn't worked out that the teddy's lost yet. However, the first place the handicapper my dear wife went to was the police. So there's an all-points bullet now on Teddy.
That does seem quite drastic, John. But
So if anyone has seen Teddy in the Port Ferry area, if he's sitting on a bar stool somewhere, just pop him over to our place.
My concern, John, is that you're wandering by the light of the moon lost yourself. Your wife may be already at the police station. Get home.
But do we need a description for Teddy?
Teddy is, he's had his nose sucked for three years and 2 months by one Theo Harms. So he's got an elongated nose, mournful in the eye, but, you know, a very loyal Teddy.
Well, God, if anyone just described Bob Ellis.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. And little Teddy, little fairy Teddy that looks like Bob Ellis, if you do come across that, just hand it in.
Fairy region.
John Harms, you'll be joining us in the studio sometime next week.
Hopefully.
Well, thank you.
If I ever get back.
Yeah, if you ever get back. But that's...
3G, it is beautiful here. It is absolutely magnificent.
Yes, you're watching a moon that looks like a toenail. That sounds beautiful,
that's,
John.
That's correct. Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Okay, see ya.
We'll speak to you soon. That's John. That's my microphone. That's John Harms, writer, broadcaster, author.
Next time you should tell him he's on the radio.
Let it be. We might do that with his own distinct rap of the cricket. No need to take it too seriously. It is only a game, but...
It didn't make me feel that I'd missed much, I must say.
I'm anxious for the teddy.
I think, let's good luck with that teddy.
I think the nation is, Michael.
Let's have a quick track. Ellie, Paperboy Reed. So this, I haven't... This
oh,
is,
Eli.
Eli, is it?
I thought I'd help you out.
Is there a question mark at the end of their name?
Sometimes. Coming up now, we've got Come and Get It from Eli Paperboy Reed.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Summer with Sam Payne.
And tonight it's been with Judith Lucy and Michael Williams as well. But coming up after the news is the one, the only, Leon Compton. And I thought we'd just check in with Leon to see what's coming on the show tonight. Leon?
Good evening, Sam. I was just doing, is it the scoop and the body ripple to that last track? It was lovely, thank you.
Oh, well, is that was Eli and I can't...
Eli, the Paperboy Reed.
Thank you very much, Leon. I didn't...
I was staggering around St Kilda one New Year's Day a few years ago, and everyone else had tapped the mat, Sam. They'd gone, they'd left me. and there was on a chalk sign out the front of a pub somewhere in Melbourne, it said, Eli the Paperboy Reid. I'm like, well, I've heard him on the ABC. I'll go have a look at this. And did I experience a second win, Sam?
You scooped and body rippled, Leo?
In front of the brass section that was all the way from Boston.
My nickname at high school was Scoop and the Body Ripple, actually. But that was ice cream related. So,
do you know, if I punch myself on the left side of my belly right now, hang on, I'll just do it for you. There's a body ripple that's going to go round and around until
Leon,
5 minutes
can
past 10 this evening.
What the scoop involves?
Look, you've got to have done a Rockerstead for Judith to understand this, and I don't really have time.
No.
I've done folk dancing, but that's as close as I've come.
Oh, did you know there's all these Greek kids and kids of different cultures who have their summer holidays right now being traumatised by being sent off to Greek dancing when all they want to do is any other form of dancing than that? I'm seeing it happen.
Compton doesn't strike me as a particularly Greek name, Leon. Are you?
With the body ripple, my friend. The Rockerstead is where the Comptons find their love.
Leon, I'll be the professional here and just bring it back. What's on your show tonight?
Look, we're going to talk about, we know there's an obesity crisis. Is there an obesity crisis in our dogs and cats? Certainly they've been tucking in over the Christmas break. The turkey gets a bit fresh for us, and so we hand it to Fido. We've got our vet coming in on the other side of news. If you've been given a dog, you don't know what to do with it.
Put it down.
She's got some advice. Yeah, she's got some advice before it comes to that. So our vet on the other side of news, our US correspondent, there's going to be fireworks over in the US when the Senate sits again for the new year. And if you've been making resolutions and maybe you've got to go back to work pretty soon, we're going to help you doing it without wanting to self-harm. So just putting yourself in the right mental place to get back in the office and kick off 2011.
Good on you, Leon. Thank you very much. Good to speak to you and have a great show.
Cheers, Sam.
That's Leon Compton coming on after the news. Just a big thanks to John Harms, who joined us earlier on. He'll be in next week. A big thank you to you two, Michael Williams and Judith
Lucy.
Just
forgot my name there for
thank
a minute.
You. And a big thank you
Wendy
to my producer,
Wendy Harmer, Rachel Berger, just looking around.
Al Crombie, thank you very much. See you next week.